much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
You're about to enter a contagious disease ward. Please be as quiet as possible. Keep your arms at your side. Keep your distance from the patients at all times. Do not touch anything. Now, follow me.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
Here's next question about Sloan as we get to know Sloan this season on Entourage. Does she have a webcam? Hello?
Being the interview killer.
We sincerely apologize for any statement that may have offended any of you.
These people are members of a community that care about where they live. So what I hear when I'm being yelled at is people caring loudly at me.
And now,
next, the FBI in color.
The FBI! No!
Our feature presentation.
Aw, Nopey, come on. Why does Nopey have to rain on all my parades? Hey, party people, it is Thursday on the Kevin and Bean Show. You can give us a call to be on the air for Kevin and Bean's What to Do Nephew. There's a toll-free number just for that at 1-800-520-1067. I get nervous when Psycho Mike seems in a good mood. What's going on today, Lisa?
I know, Mike. What?
He seems very happy. Is there a new lady in his life?
No. It's all fake. I'm not really that happy.
But you don't normally fake it. I mean, I come in, I say, how are you? And you go, fine. And today you're like, I'm excellent.
Oh. I'm fantastic.
Thank you.
Well, there was.
Did you get some sleep?
No, actually, I got very little. Maybe I'm just goofy from lack of sleep.
That happens.
There was a super hot chick on Loveline last night. If that helped,
that could have been it.
Bianca Kylik from the show Rules of Engagement, and she is really attractive. She's really attractive, and it didn't bother me any that she seemed to hate me. But oh well. What are you going to do?
Well, so she's smart, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's just good taste. Mike took the job because he gets to meet a lot of hot chicks. That's why he's the host of Loveline.
Yeah, that show has changed dramatically since joined up.
And although the only reason they ever agree to come in is because they have the hots for Dr. Drew.
Yeah.
They get there and really are reminded that he's married. And then Mike is hoping for, you know, he'll be fallout.
That's totally true.
Collateral damage.
All the girls that come on the show that are young and hot and attractive and really get me going all ask to take a personal picture with Dr. Drew after the show. Not one of them has said, hey, do you mind taking a picture with me? But every single one of them will ask, you know, Anderson or Tyler or someone else on the staff, can I take a picture with Dr. Drew?
Well, Dr. Drew's an actual celebrity, though. No offense to you, but I mean, he's a guy that people have known and listened to and seen on the television for years and years and years. So they're excited to meet him.
Sure, and it's no dent on my ego because of that. You realize that the guy's, you know, not only smart.
He's put in the work.
Handsome, he's famous, and he's, you know, he's earned it. But it's... It doesn't do my, like, poontang wrangling any good.
No, that's true. By the way, are you still playing with poontang wrangling? Because I hear they're good.
I had to give them up. You know, they were too advanced for me, musically. I couldn't hold up.
All right, we're going to go to your calls, 1-800-520-1067. You still have time to get in to get on the air, win a prize today. I wanted to mention one other thing, and that's only because I still am continuing to get so many emails and also being hit up on the Twitter with people who are still furious that we had a psychic on the air the other day, Sherry Margolis.
Why? We had somebody else. Oh, what's her name?
Yes.
I can't think of her name.
We've done it. We've had plenty, yeah.
Yeah, but what's the big deal?
There are people who hate psychics. There are people who think that the psychics are there, obviously cold reading, lying, taking advantage of, preying on people in their emotional moments. To which I say it's voluntary entertainment for people who choose to pursue it. Nobody's forcing anybody to talk to a psychic. And if that's how they want to spend their time, and even if that's how they want to go to a live event and spend their money, it's no different than deciding to go down to the casino and spend your money because that's what you want to do for entertainment.
That's true, too.
Deciding you want to go to church because that's what you choose to believe. It's pretty individual. I mean, people pretty much know what they're getting when they go into it.
And, you know, I had this discussion off the air with a friend the other day because he's very skeptical of psychics. And I don't know how I feel about it either. But I said, you know, my sense of it is she absolutely believes it, number one. And two, really is in it to help people. And three, I think does give people comfort. Whether you believe that comfort is real or not, it doesn't even matter.
Yeah, but the argument a lot of skeptics make is that false hope?
She's not giving – what kind of hope? That when you die, you will join a loved one? Oh, they they never wake up after they die, no, so they're disappointed.
And I don't know this lady's work in particular, but other kind of psychics or mediums that I've seen on TV, when they say, hey, this life decision you've been thinking about making, your father in heaven tells me it's a good idea. Mm-hmm. That's, you know, that can be dangerous because her also, father in heaven's not that, telling her to make that decision. You know, it's just a way of making her comfortable. And
so
that's
says
also
you.
No different, really, no different than go to the Bible to get a decision,
right?
To get, you know, to use that as guidance, which may or may not be good advice in your situation, but that's what people do. People choose what they are going to believe in. And to me, it's no harm, no foul. But I was so fascinated how angry so many people were that we gave her a microphone.
I'm on your side in that it's harmless, and if it's something you choose to be into, that's your choice. But I know that a lot of people out there are like Lisa May said, they get really upset about it because it's
totally. And by the way, and I've seen the shows, you know, the Penn and Teller and other shows on the cold reading, and whether it's a technique that she has or not to guess people's names, I know I couldn't do it, and it's still pretty impressive to see her pull letters out of a, you know, out of the ether and have them generally be right.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I don't know how she does. It's like watching a magic trick for me. That's what I find entertaining about it. All right. Anyway, so that happened. 1-800-520-1067. Kevin Bean's What to Do Nephew is on the air. Hit it, Steve.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or a 1.
What it do, nephew?
Iron Man 2 coming to DVD and Blu-ray this Tuesday, September 28th from Paramount Home Video. One of the most entertaining movies of 2010. You win it on DVD just for being on the air on the Kevin and Bean Show. Martha gets us started. She's on line one, and she joins us now. Hey, Martha. Thanks for calling. What it do?
Hi, Martha. What it do?
Hey, sexy Lisa May.
Hi.
I got some bad news for you.
Like where this is going.
Well, you sound happy about it.
That non-existent show you like, Brothers and Sisters, is going from 22 episodes to 18 episodes and losing 3 cast members. Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no.
Yeah, Rob Lowe and Calista Flockhart are leaving. Who's the third cast member? Do you know? She's gone.
Yeah, hung up.
Yeah, they reduced it from 22 to 18 episodes, so I think this will be the final season
what
for Brothers and
do?
Sisters. Well, at first admit that it was actually on the air. Nope. That's really all I care about anymore. Let someone just admit that it was on the air.
No, you're the only person I know who ever claims to have seen it. Yeah. Somebody else in America would have seen that
I've
show if it were
looked
real.
On it. I've actually worked on it.
Yeah, it's an internet show or something.
It's
I don't know
not.
Where the hell it airs, but it's certainly
Sally
not on a
Field
network.
Sally Field is a major TV star, and
Sally
she is
Field
on the
died
show.
Died in 2008. Come on,
true.
And Rob Lowe left
Rob
another
Lowe,
show to be on this show. I know.
Calista Flockhart. Uh-huh. These are big. Big names.
Uh-huh. Calista Flockhart hasn't been seen since she married the Mountain Man. Come on. There's no brothers and sisters.
When Lisa Thank talks God. About her TV shows, I feel like I'm in A Beautiful Mind. Like, yeah, I'm working for the government. I'm cracking codes. We have to build the new bomb.
I gotta go. I have
sure
a job.
You
I have
are.
A second job.
Sure.
Gotta go.
Well,
I'm off in
know.
Some room by myself talking.
It sounded like Martha was hoping to burn you with that information,
I
but
know.
It also sounds like she was reading it from your imaginary blog about that show because you're the only one who would know that.
Martha also sounded profoundly insane. She's going down from 22 to 18, and there are 3 cast members.
She was awfully filled with glee for somebody who's calling with bad news.
Yeah,
too,
here's some bad news for Lisa.
What did you do?
I don't know why she was so happy. All right, let's talk about today's all-new Kevin and Bean Show, okay?
You must set your tape recorders and stay up all night.
I don't know
really?
Why that's required, but okay. Epicenter is this weekend. An amazing lineup. Incredible amount of talent there. 2 big days. We got tickets and backstage passes. We'll give you a chance to win those in less than an hour from right now on the Kevin and Bean Show. Matt Money Smith will be here to catch us up on where we are in sports right now. Got our Spencer Pratt update. He, by the way, crazy Spencer Pratt.
Oh, yeah.
And I guess that's the only way, you know, now that he's not on TV, he's racing further and further into somebody that nobody will ever hear about again. So he's got to be crazier and crazier in order to get the headlines. And he's figured out a way to do it. So we'll tell you what Spencer is up to. Ralph will be happy from Fringe. Actress Anna Torv will be on the Kevin and Bean Show today. Our old friend Jimmy Kimmel stops by. Thursday means our weekly visit with Dr. Drew.
Mm-hmm.
And how about this? Sharktopus happens this weekend. The great Eric Roberts will be joining us.
Yeah, Eric!
Woo.
In studio, also one of the stars of this year's Expendables. So
yeah, Eric.
A lot of fun. Eric Roberts on the program today. All of that coming up, plus Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat, including next, right here on The Kevin and Bean. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. By the way, I just watched I'm glad we're having Spencer on the program today. I just watched the Spencer video of him with the giant knife pretending
yes.
to shave. What's up with this dude? Ralph, what's up with Spencer Pratt?
Does he think he's funny and amusing?
He thinks he's an entertainer and he misses his audience. You can't blame him. That's what he needs. He needs people to appreciate his hilarious comedy and his quick wit.
What's he going to do for work now, though? He doesn't have any abilities. He got famous for being on a reality TV show. He can't do anything else. How's he going to make a living? He won't take a regular job.
My guess is he will try to keep himself as high profile as possible and then still cash in on the personal appearances. Try to do clubs in Vegas and that kind of stuff and then just be someplace where someone will pay him something to show up. Yeah, that's all he can do, really.
I guess there'll always be a mini mart opening that would like to have, sure, you know, to pay a couple of $1,000 for a star to come out to help them open, I guess. So,
absolutely.
Well, I'm glad we got a chance to talk to Spencer later because he definitely crazy. So I hope he brings the knife. Maybe we can turn it on him.
Oh,
all right. Also, the great Stan Lee. Oh, I don't know. He created the X-Men, Fantastic Four,
yeah,
Captain America, sure, Spider-Man, all
Incredible
of that and
Hulk.
More. Yeah, unbelievable. We'll talk to Stan the Man.
Brothers
coming up
and
next.
Sisters.
Brothers and Sisters is also his.
Those superheroes.
Got him coming up just after the top of the hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. First time for another look at the Showbiz Beat, this time with Ralph Garman on a Thursday Kevin and Bean Show.
Not to geek out, but I don't believe he created Captain America.
Oh, he didn't. I'm
no,
sorry.
I think that was Jack Kirby's invention.
I thought that was one of his.
No, but
Brothers
else.
And Sisters for sure.
That they absolutely invented. Actually, Lisa invented that.
Oh, it's a great show. Everyone, they're all related, and they chop down trees in the wilderness.
Lisa's what? Like Bjork.
Trees.
She's out of her mind. Speaking of out of her mind, Lindsay Lohan.
What is up with Lindsay?
She's due to head to court tomorrow for violating her probation for failing a pair of drug tests. You know, you do a little cocaine, and they hold it against you.
Yes.
It's really unfair.
So judgmental.
They really are. How do they know someone didn't accidentally drop cocaine into her urine on the way to the lab? That's right. What my defense would be if I was her lawyer. One of the couriers was doing cocaine.
Mm-hmm.
Ha!
What if they have something against Lindsay Lohan? I am a celebrity. What if they have something against me?
You totally set her up.
I like it. I like it, Mike. You and me, the defenders. Speaking of defenders, not to interrupt my Lindsay Lohan story, but anybody catch the new Jerry O'Connell Jim Belushi show last night?
Is it
night?
Good?
It's really good. I think Jerry's got a winner.
Oh, I hope so.
I do, too. We love him on the show. He's been on a bunch. He's such a nice guy. But his shows have not exactly been barn burners.
I know, because Carpoolers was very successful on the Lisa May Network.
Yeah. I support him.
Lisa May.
You guys may not.
Carpoolers.
But I support the man.
Then he had that hotel show on Fox, which was...
Couldn't support that.
Ooh. But this one is actually very entertaining.
And Jim Belushi, in spite of... what was the TV long running?
According to Jim.
Can be a really good actor.
Much better in a drama... dramedy sort
He's
of format.
He's pretty threatening
as this
at times,
than he was on that sitcom, that's for sure. Anyway, all that being said, they do play attorneys on that show in Las Vegas. And the district attorney of Los Angeles, you like that segue, how I got back into the story?
Mm-hmm.
Tells TMZ.com that they are not going to recommend that she get sent back to jail tomorrow morning.
What
they
will
see
they
it as
recommend?
A medical issue?
I think they're going to recommend further treatment. That seems to be the intimation here. But she could have... 2 30-day jail sentences that would have to run concurrently for failing 2 drug tests. But apparently the insiders say that they're not going to recommend that sentence. The jail time really wouldn't help her. They're going to try to recommend some sort of treatment. So that's good
for
her.
Your doctors want to keep her?
It's good for her. But Dr. Drew said she's turned the corner, so it doesn't really
she's
matter.
She's fine.
Yeah.
We got to talk to him about that today.
We got to talk to him about... Joaquin Phoenix on Letterman last night, too, who gave Drew a little shout-out about how Drew diagnosed him by watching his appearance on Letterman a year and a half ago.
Awesome.
Yeah,
poor Dr. Drew.
Drew maybe played a little fast and loose with the diagnosis. That's all I'm saying. Maybe you need more than just to see a dude on television.
Maybe sit him down and talk to him.
See some girl's name in the news before you start writing prescriptions or whatever he's doing for people.
But I feel terrible for Dr. Drew because he can't walk out his front door without somebody asking, hey, what's going on with fill in the blank of celebrity in the news?
Right. And God forbid you say, you know what? I don't have enough information, really, to pass any judgment on
that. Yeah, no, that should
be
your take.
You don't have to put on the pancake and sit down in front of the camera and start telling people what's up.
That should be your take, but I've watched that backfire on him. I've watched it before my eyes, TMZ waiting outside the Loveline Studios or some other news source, and he'll say, you know, I can't really comment on her because I've never met her or this person. And then the next thing you know, you wake up and you read Us Weekly, and it says that her parents should have her thrown in jail. You know,
what he says?
It's a lose-lose, yeah.
He should start slugging photographers then.
Oh.
When he walks out of Loveline, there's a camera in there. Bam! Just Yeah, drop them with.
No point in being swole.
Straight right. Exactly. Works out all the time. Start using it. All right. Did David Beckham cheat?
Yes.
On his wife, Victoria?
That's a pretty good bet.
With a $10,000 a night hooker?
Well, hookers are pretty reliable if that's the source.
The source is In Touch Weekly magazine, which is about as reliable as a hooker when it comes to these stories. The Beckhams are saying no way.
The Beckhams are saying no way? Okay.
Yes. The magazine reports that David had a wild night with a few ladies, but a rep for the couple is saying that that is completely untrue and totally ridiculous.
The wild women?
Yeah, the ripping and the tearing. They went on to say, the fact that anyone could imagine that anyone involved with soccer could be interested in women is ridiculous.
Good point.
I must
say
they do have a point there, because soccer has come out of the closet. Speaking of cheating, I don't know if you guys saw The Town yet. I enjoyed that movie enormously, but one of the stars of that film, Rebecca Hall.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. She's a tasty little dish right there. British, doesn't use her accent in the film, but In Touch magazine says that a relationship with director Sam Mendes is the reason that his marriage to Kate Winslet went south.
Oh.
Apparently they worked together and Rebecca and Sam got together. Now she's being linked to Ben Affleck from the movie The Town. However, I don't see that being a situation.
He seems pretty invested
in his
family. He's
very dedicated to his wife, Jennifer Garner, and their baby, right. So that may be just a rumor. But I can see how she could turn somebody's head, because she is a beautiful, talented woman.
She is. You never know what it's really like in those relationships, but I'd be hard-pressed to cheat on Kate Winslet.
I would, too. Look, don't get me wrong. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
In my defense. And finally, Fox came out yesterday in a press conference and broke the news we've all been waiting to hear. They announced who the new judges on American Idol were going to be.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, Ryan Seacrest stepped up and told the world, apparently, this is a shocker, it's going to be Steven Tyler.
What?
Jennifer Lopez.
No way.
And Randy Jackson.
We would have heard something about some of that.
Really, Fox? Really? Press conference? If you're Fox, don't you say, okay, you know what, everybody knows. We'll just send it out a little. Little press release, maybe.
Nice.
That's all you need.
A little confirmation. We don't need to make a big circus out of it by bringing Ryan out and then, finding some sort of box for him to stand on so he can get to the microphone and then announcing who the judges are going to be. And it's just, it was as much ado about nothing.
Do you think if the ratings were continuously on a climb like they were in the first three or four seasons that they would have gone through all this rigmarole?
I think we would have cared if the show was still good. Ralph, the figures that I'm hearing about salary for those two... Are you hearing any numbers?
I know that Lopez, from all the accounts that I've read, is receiving $12 million for one season.
I heard the same thing. Did you hear what Tyler's
getting? I didn't hear.
Yesterday I read from a reliable source that they're paying him, and tell me if this is even possible, $18 million.
That's not possible. For a season. That's not possible. How could they pay him more than Jennifer Lopez?
Well, the only thing I can think is that he has a career. He's a guy who can go out on the road with Aerosmith and probably make $18 million this year.
In terms
he's giving
of,
something up.
In terms
he's
of
not.
American Idol and that audience you're trying to attract and getting eyes to that show, who's the bigger name across the board?
Jennifer Lopez, definitely.
Right.
So I don't know. I mean, I have no idea whether those numbers are just made up or what, but crazy cash they're talking about.
And is Aerosmith making $18 million on the road these days?
I think
they're a huge concert draw.
I think to play those big arena, country fair, state fair type deals, they make big dough.
Well, if that's the case, then good on you, Steven Tyler.
No kidding.
Think how many scarves that will buy.
Now, hearing him talk yesterday and seeing him, correct me if I'm wrong, Ralph and Bean, they used to be the baddest-ass rock and roll band on the planet.
They were sex, drugs, and rock and roll personified.
And now he's an old woman. I've listened to their older albums, and I am just blown away at how cool they are. What has happened? I mean, is this just giving up?
Now, this is the culmination of a long spiral for that band. Once they started recording Diane Warren songs and things like that, and they got kind of soft, and they became a staple on every soundtrack from a Hollywood action movie that was being released, I think they themselves had decided, F being cool, F being edgy, we're going to just fully throw ourselves into the mainstream and make as much cash as we possibly can.
All right.
Look, that's what happens when you clean up, man. Lose your soul.
That's why Ralph always advises don't stop doing drugs.
That's right. That's your best you'll ever get is when you're on drugs.
I will say that I show up to work a lot more now, but yes. I was way cooler.
That's what I'm doing. I didn't even know you when you were doing drugs, but I could make that assumption easily. The one interesting thing about the American Idol press conference yesterday was they have announced the fact that they are also going to have an in-house mentor for the kids every week. Someone who works for the show who will be working to develop the talent that comes along on American Idol, and that will be Interscope Records' Jimmy Iovine.
Oh, wow.
He's a heavyweight.
He is a big heavyweight, and he is going to be working with the guys and girls backstage, and apparently they will shoot that footage as well, and we will get to see him trying to develop them. And apparently he will take on the villain role that Simon vacated in those segments, as opposed to making one of the judges try to replicate Simon's attitude. Jimmy will be the one who will be cracking the whip and coming down on him. So
in the one-on-one where they need to trust someone to help them develop,
at their most vulnerable
he's
moments,
the one that's going to beat him over the head.
He will be sticking him in the ass with a cattle prod.
Interesting.
And speaking of Fox, did you enjoy Lone Star? Did you catch Lone Star on Monday night?
Everybody enjoyed Lone Star? I watched half and then Bean told me, don't bother, so I deleted.
Yeah, the ratings were so bad for the premiere of Lone Star that Fox insiders, or insiders close to Fox at least, are saying the show will probably be canceled outright before it airs a second episode.
I love the concept. It was really interesting.
Yeah, was it about brothers and sisters? Or driving in a carpool together?
There was
men in trees?
Some relationships.
Anne Heche in the wilderness? Today's celebrity birthdays. Jason Alexander of Seinfeld fame is 61 years old today. Actor Chi McBride, very talented actor, currently can be seen on Human Target, one of my favorite shows. Mm-hmm. He is 49 years old today. Gene Simmons quiet on Human Target. I'm surprised. We're shocked and disappointed.
Gene was daydreaming.
Well, we're getting the real Gene, a lot of him in the next hour, so I figured I'd lay off.
You know? Oh, wow. Using your better judgment.
Thank you.
See? E has taught you something. Rapper producer, record head Jermaine Dupri is 38 years old today. Singer Julio Iglesias.
Yeah!
Celebrates his 67th birthday today. And The Boss, one of my favorite artists of all time.
Rick Ross?
A man who has made an enormous difference in my life personally. Bruce Springsteen celebrates his 61st birthday today. Is there a rock singer today who looks better at 61 than Bruce Springsteen does?
He looks awesome.
And still brings it on stage with the energy that Bruce Springsteen does in his age.
He's a freak. And is still, I think, of all that genre of music, guys who came up sort of in the 70s and 80s, the most relevant of all the musicians who are still working at that age.
Okay, Grandpa.
Sorry, I'm just saying.
No, it's true, because I can't listen to like the Mellencamps and Billy Joels anymore. You know, because
they're from another era, but Springsteen still seems like a current artist to me, which is quite the accomplishment. Happy birthday, Boss. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
And now, a moment with Lisa May.
We find her if they offer up the first name.
They should offer up the first name.
You know what I'm saying.
Just first name.
That was a moment with Lisa May.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Thanks for tuning in. It's 6:23. Epicenter 2010 is happening this weekend. It's one of the biggest concerts anywhere in America all year long, and it's going to be at the Auto Club Speedway in Fontana, California. Listen to this lineup, Lisa May. Okay. Eminem is going to be there. You know how few shows he's doing this year. Papa Roach, House of Pain, The Crash Kings, Bush, Blink-182, Rise Against, 30 Seconds to Mars, Bad Religion, Against Me, Suicidal Tendencies. I mean, the list is just crazy. It goes on and on. And, of course, any opportunity you have to see the great band Kiss, you got to take up. You got to take that up. And ladies and gentlemen, Gene Simmons has joined us. Founder of the band, bass player, occasional lead singer. Gene, how are you, man?
I've never been better. I'm very wealthy. I'm very handsome. And I'm very talented.
You are well known for your legendary live stage shows. And it is very rarely do you play a festival. Very rarely do we put you on a bill with the 200 other bands. What's going on?
Well, the reason that we don't often play with other bands is because we embarrass them.
Oh, really?
Because you're so good?
Yes. Yes, it's true. But we figured that we should every once in a while tip our caps to the young folks who are trying to make it in the music industry and show them how it should be done.
Okay. Now, it turns out, Gene, that you're a phenomenal businessman and entertainer, but you also are something of a musical savant. You know everything there is to know about the bands that you're playing on the bill with this weekend.
There's three things that Gene Simmons knows everything about.
Okay.
The music industry,
mm-hmm.
right. How to make a dollar,
yeah,
mm-hmm. and the Jewish faith.
Oh, okay.
It's true.
Not even satisfying the ladies? I thought that would be on that list.
Me too.
that is something that I don't really know much about. It just comes naturally.
Oh,
you understand
I see.
That? When I get into a romantic situation like I have been with Lisa May, it's just something takes over me. Next thing I know, I wake up and there's a woman torn in half.
We haven't really ever been.
You look fantastic. You look beautiful.
Thank you, Gene.
Okay, try to keep your attention away from Lisa if you can. I know it's difficult for you because you're a ladies' man, but we do want to focus on the music right now. So 1-800-520-1067. Any trivia question about any of the bands on the bill, let's see if you can stump Gene Simmons.
Can you stump Gene Simmons? Can you stump Gene Simmons? Now.
You know, speaking of stumps, Lisa May, there's a stump to a mighty oak tree right here.
All right. Thank you, G. All right. 1-800-520-1067. Let's start with Susan. If you are able to stump Gene Simmons, you will go into the drawing to win tickets and backstage passes for both days this weekend of the Epicenter 2010. Hi, Susan. Welcome to the show. You're on the air.
Oh, thank you. Okay, Gene, I hope you're thinking this morning, which two members of 30 Seconds to Mars are related?
Ooh. Two members of 30 Seconds to Mars. It's Angus Young and his brother, Malcolm. And speaking of them, I was at the Hyatt Regency in 1977, Lisa May. And I ended up with two Thai midgets.
Okay.
Pushing hot dogs through donuts.
Okay, you're going off on a tangent. You're thinking of AC/DC. Those are not the members of 30 Seconds to Mars.
Are you sure? Brothers.
Susan, tell Gene what answer you were looking for.
Oh, the answer is the lead singer, Jared Leto, and his brother, the drummer, is Shannon.
No, you're wrong. You're wrong.
No, Susan is absolutely right. So we're going to put you on hold. Susan, you are in the drawing. Congratulations. Thank you very much.
Susan, would you like to be made airtight?
Okay, that's this isn't for you to meet women. That's not why we
all right.
Let's try Rob, line one. He's got a question about the great Blink 182, another huge draw at Epicenter 2010. Hi, Rob. You're on the air. Stump Gene Simmons. Good luck.
Hey, guys. How you doing, Gene?
Hello.
Yes, hi. So I want to know, do you know what Travis Barker's middle name is?
Hot Carl. Lisa May, speaking of Hot Carl,
I've
got a present
Gene.
For you right here.
No,
look,
please,
I'm removing my pants.
Rob, is it Hot Carl?
No, it's not. It's actually Landon.
Okay,
you are in
the drawing then. Thank you very much. Let's take another blank question on line three. Shane is going to join us. Hi, Shane. Welcome to the Kevin Bead Show. Stump Gene. Good luck.
What was Blink 182's
Blumpkin. Lisa May, speaking of Blumpkin, I've got a present for you right here.
At least
you
let him
hear
answer
the question.
Let him ask the question, Gene.
That's how good I am. Blumpkin.
Say it again, now, Shane.
What is Blumpkin?
What was Blink-182's band name before they were Blink-182?
Is it Blumpkin?
No.
Now, what's the answer, Shane?
It was just Blink.
Just Blink. There's another band called Blink. All right, hang on. You are also...
You know, Lisa May, speaking of blinking, does your brown eye blink?
Okay.
That is so inappropriate.
You have brown eyes, am I correct?
Is that what you meant?
I don't know.
Sorry.
Let's try...
You have a dirty mind.
Let's try Rich on line two, another legendary all-time band that's going to be playing Epicenter 2010 is what Rich's question about. You're on with Gene Simmons. Good luck.
Rich?
Yes, Rich. Go ahead.
Yeah, what's Suicidal Tendencies' first record?
Their first album was called what, Gene Simmons?
Labia.
No, why would you think it would be called Labia?
I believe it was shortened from Auburn Frosted Labia, Lisa May. Speaking of it.
Gene.
Rich, is it Labia?
No, it is Suicidal Tendencies.
Suicidal Tendencies.
Well, that's dumb. Okay. Why would you self-title your first album?
All right. Lisa May, you have to do a drawing of all the folks who have just stumped Gene Simmons. Who wins tickets and backstage passes for this weekend's Epicenter 2010?
Our winner is Shane.
Yay! Shane, congratulations, man. You're going to see Gene Simmons and Kiss and all the other bands this weekend. Way to go, dude.
Oh, my God. I can't wait. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Have a fantastic time. You're welcome. Thank you, Mr. Simmons.
Lisa May, would you like to get some lunch? Perhaps some hot lunch?
Yeah. I'll do that with you,
Gene. Oh, good.
You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. Our friend Jimmy Kimmel on the program today. Also, Dr. Drew, former sports guy at The Kevin and Bean Show. Matt Money Smith will be here. Anna Tor from Fringe and from Sharktopus, Eric Roberts. That's a hell of a show today.
Yeah.
So stick around for that. Right now, a special edition of The Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup.
Click that mouse and open your browser. Pull up your shirt and drop them trousers. We've got shots that need your viewing. Life so hard that you'll start spewing. Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup.
Today, kids. Instead, we're focusing on the stars of tomorrow. We have three very different entertainers who are using, they're harnessing the power of the internet to be able to get their message out there. And this is, and I've said this before in this program before, this is the amazing thing about the internet is you don't have to now go out and be found by a talent scout or be signed to a record label or anything like that. You can get your stuff out there to millions of people just with a laptop, just sitting in your bedroom. And that's what a lot of these entertainers have done. We're going to introduce you to Kenan Cahill first. Mike, you've seen this guy. How old is he? He looks like he could be anywhere from 12 to 20. I can't tell what
his deal
is.
He could even be older than that. He could be up in like my age, but has some weird like debilitating disease that ages him or keeps him young. He has a very unique look, and that's why I don't know. I can't really tell. He has, like you said, Bean, he's got a very unique look that he could be really a kid or an old man.
I don't know what's going on with Kenan Cahill, but he does love to sing. Now, a lot of his videos are him lip sync, of him just sitting, just puts the little iPod headphones on, and he just sits there in front of his computer, and he'll sing to a Lady Gaga song. And I'm thinking, why would somebody upload that and think that anybody else would be interested in seeing that? But the guy gets tons of hits. Sometimes he actually sings for himself, too. Here's a little bit of Kenan Cahill, and you can see this at KevinAndBean.com in the Internet Roundup, doing the song Down from Jay Sean featuring Lil Wayne. Listen up.
You be my only. No need to worry, baby, are you down, 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 down?
Now, he's terrible, and that's the type of thing that people have always done, which is sing along to their favorite music. I don't know why he feels like he needs to upload that to the World Wide Web.
I don't know, but we watched him lip sync some stuff, and he was awesome. He's really funny.
All right, can he sing, though? Here's Kenan again doing a little bit of that all-time classic. And boy, when was the last time you felt the need to hear this song, We Are the World?
Hello, that's right, big family. That's the truth. Still, love is all we need of the world. We are the children.
Okay. He doesn't really sound like he's trying to be. But anyway, you can check him out on the Internet Roundup. Now here's Majella ZZ Diamond. Now, I don't know what her deal is, but she's in the grand tradition of the woman we introduced you to a few weeks ago who was doing the girl come and show me your vagina, that girl.
Oh, that's a classic.
All of her songs sound just like that. This one is called Tickle My Vagina. There's definitely a vagina theme going on. Tickle My Vagina, Don't Have Sex with Bearded Men, because you know what that can feel like. Here's Majella, see what you think.
I don't have sex with bearded men. They tickle my vagina. They tickle me with their beard. I don't have sex with bearded men. I don't have sex with bearded men. They tickle my vagina. They tickle me with their beard.
She's got quite a fan club on the internet, too, because she's young and she's fairly attractive. So you start uploading videos and you're a young woman, all of a sudden you're going to get fans from all over the world. And she certainly has. Majella ZZ Diamond is her name. Here's one more, again, sticking with the vagina theme.
Men are stupid. I don't even respect them. Oh, men are good for money, sex, and vagina. Oh, oh, oh. I'm going to show you my genitalia. Oh, oh, oh. Come and see my vagina. I want to see your penis.
What's going on? What's going on?
I'd buy that song. That's awesome.
And finally, on this special edition of the Kevin Bean Internet Roundup, we want to introduce you to the white Armenian comedian, is how I think of him. His name is Daniel Songer. And I don't know what's going on with Mr. Songer, but he is about the most prolific entertainer that I've seen on YouTube in a long time. He's got about, no joke, 150 different videos of him doing stand-up comedy.
Wow, really?
150. I'm not joking. Think how much material that is. Never in front of an audience or anything like that. It's usually he's just out in his backyard or out in his driveway or something like that, and he just sets up a camera and he does an act as if he's standing up on stage. And maybe he's hoping to get discovered. I don't know why he just didn't go on America's Got Talent or something like that. But here's an introduction to Daniel Songer.
Hi, my name's Daniel Songer. I am a singer, songwriter, poet. I have written a couple of screenplays, artistic dancer, and now I'm a comedian. Hey, I was out in my backyard drilling, and I struck oil. It was a gusher. I found out later that the gas station next door lost all their oil. Hey, you know how you're traveling down a road and all you see is construction signs, construction barrels, detour signs. and you get down to the end of it, and there's nothing going on. Well, this is how it goes.
Hello, Matt. We just got 3,000 construction barrels in. What do you want us to do with them? We'll take them and put them on I-75 for 3 miles. Leave them out there for a week until we figure out what to do with them.
Okay. And he's out of breath the entire time.
He's a big fat guy. As we've had this conversation so many times with people who want to make it in comedy, whether it's the Armenian comedian or it's Doto, have a joke, right? You can't do, I mean, otherwise you're Dane Cook. If you're just up there throwing a bunch of words out there and it's not funny, it doesn't go anywhere, there's no punchline, it's not a joke at that point. Daniel Songer is his name. Let's give him another shot. Maybe that was a bad example. Maybe he does have some A-level material that he's holding back for this next video.
Cop pulls me over and he says, "Son, you were speeding." And I'm like, "Officer, officer, I was looking in the clouds. Look, look, I was looking upside the cloud at the sky." And he looks up at the sky and he says, "Julie." And man, he starts breaking it down. "Julie in the sky with diamonds. Now pay your ticket."
Oh, no.
Anyone?
No.
What the hell?
No.
That's the deal here.
First off, he's awesome. Secondly, I think like singers, everybody knows the person who does karaoke 3 nights a week, and they think they're as good as Celine Dion or something, but they suck. In their head, they hear good singing.
Maybe.
I think,
but this guy, I mean, I would compare him to the Armenian comedian, but you give that guy a pass because his English is not great. This
right.
guy was born here. He has a full grasp of the English language. How can he not know that's not a joke?
All right, just one more because, again, I don't want to prejudge Daniel's song. I mean, with 150 videos, there has to be at least one joke. Maybe this is the one.
"Hey, man, I was at the bar all night last night. All night long. All night, you know, and I was doing coke all night long, and I was like snorting whiskey and drinking coke, snorting whiskey and drinking coke." Yeah, man, I was snorting whiskey and drinking coke, man, and I'm telling you, man, drinking coke all night long, whoa, man, you know.
that hurts my ears.
Keenan Cahill, Majila ZZ Diamond, and Daniel Songer. The stars of tomorrow on the Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup. Check it out.
Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup.
Oh, I always want to Diet Coke when I hear this song. David Mina from Covina won his tickets for the Epicenter 2010. Hey, I don't write it, man. I just read what it says right
here. We should move to Pasadena.
What? To win your
tickets. David Mina from Covina, currently in Pasadena.
Your tickets coming up next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 6:55. Thanks a lot for tuning in. Two former sports guys at the Kevin and Bean Show on the program today. Jimmy Kimmel later on, Matt Money Smith after the top of the hour, talking all things sports. Right now, Ralph's here with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Last night, celebrating a year and a half of people talking about his appearance on the David Letterman Show, Joaquin Phoenix returned to the scene of the crime and filled us in and let us know that the character he was portraying for the past 2 years was just that. When he said he was retiring from acting and getting into a career as a rapper, and he was walking around with the beard and the sunglasses, and he was acting like a lunatic, it was all for this little film project that he's got out in theaters now called I'm Still Here, directed by Casey Affleck. And Dave was hilarious last night confronting him and rehashing what had happened before. Here's a little taste of what happened in last night's show.
Now, did I know anything about this?
No.
Yeah. Was there a script that you and I were working with?
No.
Yeah.
You know, there's some things I feel bad about. I know, like, Dr. Drew lost some sleep.
What was the deal on him?
He diagnosed me based on the interview.
What did he come up with?
I can't remember what it was, but he obviously cares a great deal.
Well, what did he have to say about me? I don't care about you. What did he say about me?
Yeah. Dave said that you owe me $1 million. Said all the free publicity you got from being on my show and your little movie and everything, and I'm in the movie apparently. Just give me $1 million.
I thought he was in on it.
He was not.
He was not.
No.
Oh, all right.
Here's the thing: the confusion was a writer on Letterman said Dave was aware that he was doing a character. That means during the interview, as soon as the guy walked out on stage, Letterman said he recognized something was off. This guy wasn't a genuine lunatic. He was putting something on.
I see.
And so he said, I just started to tee up and just, he said it was like batting practice. I just went to work on the guy and gave him a beat down. And Joaquin Phoenix said basically that's what he was looking for. He wanted to put that in the film, somebody confronting him on television and sort of pointing out he was acting like a weirdo. So,
and it was great.
Yeah, it was great. But what was misconstrued by the press, I think, was when the writer said David was in on it. Dave realized something was up with this guy.
Gotcha.
But it wasn't like Joaquin Phoenix came to him ahead of time and said, I'm doing this character. Can you help me or whatever?
Right.
So that was clear.
All right, let me ask you for an opinion then, Ralph. I have not seen the movie.
I haven't either.
My gut is that it wasn't worth it. The 2 years of the charade of the nonsense wasn't worth it for this documentary.
I think the payoff, the actual film itself, you may be right. But according to Joaquin Phoenix, for him personally, he said that it was a fascinating experience watching how the press and the public reacted to a celebrity behaving other than what they think they should be. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
he kind of stepped outside the box and became weird, and he said it was fascinating to watch how people behaved. So, I don't know. It's as far as he's concerned, it was a success, but I don't think the film will be much of a success.
And Casey Affleck says he almost went broke doing it.
Yeah. It's funny because Dave started was really pressing him. He said, look, I want $1 million. If you just give me $1 million and then we'll be cool. And so Joaquin Phoenix says, can we talk about this in private, Dave? And he goes, oh, yeah, sure. We'll go to one of the theaters showing your movie. So he hit it pretty hard. Hit it pretty hard. But it was very entertaining last night. Check it out if you haven't had a chance to see it.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Just.
Yeah.
Have you given up?
It just makes me sad. It sounds like Scott Weiland may be off the wagon again.
Oh,
gee, you think?
Earlier this week, Scott was performing with the Stone Temple Pilots in Houston, and he went off on a rant that was described by the Houston press as, at best, incoherent.
Oh.
He was apparently slurring his words as he screamed into the microphone angry comments about his in-ear monitors, his past drug use, and 90s grunge bands in general. Well, on the heels of that, the band's official website says the band is taking a short break from their tour. They've scrapped 12 dates on the tour, and the site says they will be back at it with a show on October 8th in Tampa, Florida. So we'll have to see what happens there.
But what's Dr. Drew have to say about Scott?
Yeah, I don't know. That should be enough information. That should be enough information for him to give a diagnosis.
Pull out the pads. Start writing some prescriptions.
That's right. And would you like to sing this like Selena Gomez?
Would I like to do what to Selena Gomez?
Would you like to sing like Selena Gomez?
No. No.
Yeah.
Well, she was on Ellen DeGeneres this week, and she said that her trick to sounding awesome when she's on stage is to swallow olive oil right before hitting the stage. She says it works like a charm, but she says it's kind of disgusting to swallow down the greasy stuff.
Oh, my God.
She is 18, right?
I believe she is.
Yes, yes.
So. You know, you brought up swallowing down.
Hey, Gene.
No.
Surprise, you're back.
Are you
going to
hang out
early
all day today? What's going on?
I commonly do. I just get under the console here and hang out, read books.
Your big segment. Today's celebrity birthday is Julio Iglesias.
Yes.
Is 67 years old today. Bean, would you like to say anything about any girls he's known previously?
No, I have no remark whatsoever.
All right, just to make sure. Jason Alexander of Seinfeld is 51 years old today. Shy McBride from Human Target is 49 years old today.
yes, Gene.
Rapper, producer, record executive Jermaine Dupri is 38 years old. And the boss, Bruce Springsteen, celebrates his 61st birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I don't know what all the yelling's about. Nirvana, 106.7, K-Rock, it is KROQ at 710. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. One of the stars of Fringe, Anna Torv, joins us later this hour on The Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, former sports guy for The Kevin and Bean Show, co-host of the nationally syndicated Petros and Money Show, Matt Money Smith on the phone. Hey, Money, what's going on, man?
Where's my bell?
Oh.
Number one. And number two, where's my money?
Season's not over yet. The Mariners could still make a dramatic comeback, buddy.
No, they cannot.
They can.
Be eliminated from our wager.
Unless everybody else in the division dies in a plane crash, and then they win the division by default. You don't know, man.
Yeah, I guess I don't. I guess you're right, Bean. I guess I don't know. I guess that could happen.
It could happen. All right, let's talk about a couple things in the few minutes that we have here, Money. Psycho Mike's got a theory, and he wants to run it by. I don't know if this is something you've talked about on PMS, but Mike, what's up your sleeve?
Now, we all make fun of the Kardashians and how they insist on dating athletes, but, I mean, are they good luck charms for the athletes that they date? I mean, Reggie Bush had a pretty good year last year when he was dating Kim, and then as soon as she dumped him, it seems like things have gone really south for him. She picked up Miles Austin. He signs this huge deal and became one of the most talked about players in the NFL in the preseason. Dumps him. Cowboys are 0-2. And Lamar lived in the NBA as the guy who was nothing but potential. He gets with Chloe, two rings, and became one of Coach K's most talked about guys overseas recently.
Well, here's what I'll tell you, Mike. Number one, they do have incredible asses. Number two, you know, as I'm doing this college football stuff, there's a young man on the Iowa squad. You know, I'm doing a Hawkeyes game, and I was reading about him. His girlfriend had some girlfriend troubles back there in North Dakota, starting running back for a top 10 college football team, the University of Iowa Hawkeyes, and she dumps him. And what does he do? He just leaves the team, quits school, decides to go back home.
Wow, no. Really?
Can't bear the idea of not being with her. So, you know, hey, man, football players might look invincible when they put on those plastic outfits and crash into one another, but they got feelings inside, too.
Apparently, they're human just like us.
Yeah, can you believe it?
Speaking of the Cowboys being 0-2, are they the team that's 0-2 that you are most concerned about at this point?
Well, yeah, because of the division they play in. You know, I mean, when you're in a division with the Eagles, with the Redskins, with the Giants, those are all very good football teams, and the good thing for the Cowboys is all those teams are 1-1. You know, none of them have jumped out to a 2-0 lead, but at the same time, those are quality football teams that are going to win games, and it's probably going to take at least 10, probably 11 games to win that division. And to start out in a hole, I mean, look, I know people don't like stats. They like games played on the field, but, I mean, you can't ignore that 13% of teams that start 0-2 make the playoffs. That's it. So it's not a good way to get started. You know, I think when you look at the Vikings and you have a division where, you know, look, the Bears obviously look a lot better than a lot of people thought they were going to be, but you figured Detroit is two wins. The Vikings are very tough at home, and that seems like something that could be overcome, maybe a little bit easier than the Cowboys.
I've been very disappointed, as many have, with Brett Favre. He just doesn't seem to be on his game right now, and he's, you know, he hasn't had the come from behind wins, the types of things he has been doing for so long in the NFL. Is it because he didn't have any preseason, or is it just because he's at that point in his life where he's, you know, just doing the best he can?
Well, I think there's a couple things. One, you know, he's always been prone to mistakes, and that was the case against Miami. You know, they didn't move the ball pretty well, and he just, you know, a couple interceptions. One of those was not his fault. Percy Harvin dropped that ball in the end zone, and that led to an interception. I think camp has something to do with it. All the guys we talk to say that as much as camp sucks, you kind of need it. But right. but I think he's also missing a lot. You know, I mean, that his favorite wide receiver, and Brett Favre has always been this way. He's always had one guy that he really likes a lot, and they pile up just wacky numbers. And they don't have to be big superstars. You know, that was the case in Green Bay. It was dudes we had never heard of, Donald Driver and Robert Brooks. And then last year it was the least of the touted receivers for Minnesota, Sidney Rice. And that guy's got a hip injury, and Percy Harvin has migraines. And, you know, there's just dudes are hurt. So I think that's not all on Brett, but I do think it sucks that he doesn't go to training camp and his teammates hate him for it.
His receivers did not do him any favors in that Miami game either. There were several dropped balls that should have been caught.
Yeah, I'm a pretty good lip reader, and I noticed when they were dropping the balls, they were saying, like, oh, how was Hattiesburg? How was Hattiesburg? While we were oh, I'm sorry, I dropped that pass that you just threw me. Now, they don't like that. The players don't like that Brett gets to take off while they're sitting in man-freaking-cato with mosquitoes
exactly.
And humidity. And you know what? I mean, in all honesty, that there is something to be said for developing chemistry. That you know, in those 4 weeks, you kind of figure things out and the way guys break and their patterns and how they catch the ball.
Yeah.
All right. Your thoughts on the two quarterback controversies that seem to be settled, certainly at least for this weekend, in Oakland and Philadelphia. Did the coaches make the right choices?
I'll tell you, man, it's crazy. Those things are nuts. People don't kind of – I think people watch those games and they see Michael Vick running around and throwing the ball. Oh, of course you pick Michael Vick. Well – I mean, you traded Donovan McNabb, a guy who's a borderline Hall of Famer in the offseason, because you said this young man, you know, is finally ready for his chance, Kevin Cobb, and he's going to win games and he's going to win championships for the Eagles, and then you scratch out a $12 million single-year contract for him, and all of a sudden,
Well, we don't want to put him out there because of Philly fans, because they're giant a-holes. And if he just makes the slightest misstep, they'll really get all over him. It'll crush his confidence for the rest of his career. So we're going to go with Vic. So that's really weird. I think it makes sense if, you know, I mean, the guy looks great. He's playing.
Is that what you would do if you were the coach?
If I like dog killers, yeah, I guess that's probably what I would
do. But, I mean, look, Cobb's going to be around, right? He's a young dude. Michael Vick is a known entity. And when he's sharp, he's as good as anyone out there.
Yeah, I just, you know, quarterback is kind of like, you know, it's kind of like golf, I guess, in that it's so mental, unlike a lot of the other positions. You know, you really kind of have your head in the game, and it's a thinking man's position, although some of the guys, when you listen to him talk, you wouldn't know that. I think when you ruin confidence, and that's kind of what people are talking about, how is this guy that was told he's the future of the franchise, he gets one half behind just a crappy offensive line where he gets his head knocked off. Right. To prove himself, and now all of a sudden he's the backup quarterback for the rest of the year. I think it's very—it's interesting. I don't know what I'd probably go back to Cobb, and if he struggles, just try to blame it on the concussion. Oh, he's still a little fuzzy.
I mean, Andy Reid has a right to play whoever he feels gives him the best chance of winning on a given Sunday. But why? I mean, this is an experienced coach. Why would he, the day before announcing that Vic's the starter, go into this diatribe about how he's going to stick with Cobb no matter what?
Yeah, I think because that's the right thing to do. You know, that's for the dude's confidence and for his future. If you really think he's going to be a great quarterback, that is the right thing to do. Hey, he is our guy. Yes, yeah. He went down after a half against Green Bay where they teed off on us. But you know what? They did that to Michael, and he just happened to slip away from him, and they just did it last week against the Bills, and they knocked Trent Edwards out of the game. So that's just a very good team, and he struggled, but we think he's going to be okay. And I think it's pressure, you know, from outside forces. I think, you know, Jeffrey Lurie, their owner, is a big Michael Vick guy, and I think he may have had a little bit of something to do with this as well. And, I mean, look, the guy has played great. You can't argue that he's probably the better quarterback of the two.
Right. Oakland, real quick, Gradkowski for Campbell. You agree?
Yeah, I do. I mean, he looked great last year. I shouldn't say great, but he definitely looked like the best quarterback on that team last year. Campbell clearly has struggled in his first six quarters. It's one thing to struggle against the Titans, who are a very good defensive team, but to do it against the freaking Rams and then watch Gradkowski come in and just clean up your mess, I think you have to. And you know what? Good for Al Davis, because that is not something he is used to doing.
You know how much it hurt me to see the Raiders win this weekend, Money. You know,
well,
that.
It's the Rams.
It hurt me bad.
They won one game last year, you know, so maybe they'll go ahead and lose the rest of them from here on out and go 1-15 for you.
Ralph Garman, you just stepped in. You got a question?
No, you guys have moved on, but I was just going to say that, you know, you have to understand the Eagles situation is that it's also conditional upon the rest of the team and what it looks like. And right now, that offensive line is porous. They've got a lot of injuries on the offensive line. They've got a brand new center who is not really that confident at the position. And if you put Cobb in there, a guy who's not a very mobile quarterback, unlike Vic, he's going to get his bell rung, and his confidence will be hurt a lot worse if he takes a shellacking all season than if he has to sit around a little bit longer and let Vic try to win some games for this team for the rest of the year.
I think that makes perfect sense, Ralph. I guess the only problem I have with that is then, you know, why on Monday do you say that Cobb is your guy, Cobb is the future, because that offensive line did not change from Sunday to Monday. That's what really makes
Because Reed is an egotist, and he believes once he makes a decision that it is beyond reproach, and he's too stubborn. He sticks with it. Somebody got in his ear and said, look, we got to go with the guy who can win us the most games, because the East right now looks very winnable in the NFC.
Well, and as you mentioned, you know, the Eagles did win 11 games last year, and if they think that it's winnable and they can win 11 games with Michael Vick, then by all means, that's what they're going to do. I think it's just it's an interesting approach, because these dudes are just so wacky in the head, and Cobb had to go through this last year of the fans hate him, or they going to hate me because they're trading Donovan McNabb, and now this year are the fans going to hate me because I'm going to take over for Michael Vick. This dude has just been sitting there waiting to get in, and if they think that highly of him, personally, I don't. Ralph, you've probably seen him a lot more than I have. I remember maybe a couple games, but I just don't. I can't imagine trading Donovan McNabb for what I saw from that guy.
Well, he better suck it up, because this is a man's game.
Look, I am not a competitor, and I am certainly not a winner, but I would be happy to sit on that bench for $12.5 million this year with no complaints, I got to tell you. Listen, we're out of time. Matt Money Smith, co-host of the nationally syndicated Petros and Money Show. And what college game should we watch for you on this weekend?
I will be on the game of the week, as a matter of fact. I'm calling the Boise State-Oregon State game up in Boise, Idaho.
Fantastic.
Go right, potato Money. Slugs.
Have a great trip. Thanks, as always, for coming on the Kevin and Bean Show, man. We enjoy it.
All right, guys. Thanks.
I live and breathe, I would say, pop culture and the entertainment business. Uh-huh. I currently am in a partnership with the next Jay-Z. I won't go to a club now for less than $100,000.
You say villain. Some people say jerk. I mean,
to me,
Joe Tomato.
I'm too rich and I'm too famous to be sitting with these people and cleaning up their in the jungle, my man. And this cast is devaluing our fame right now. I'm sitting next to VH1 comedians that I've never even seen before. I'm a black belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. I kickbox. I box every day. I don't fear no man.
Spence, why do you lie? Why do you sit on a throne of lies? Why is nothing that comes out of your mouth the truth?
Welcome to the studio, Chilean miner, Spencer Pratt.
See, that's what I'm saying. That's a perfect example. You're not a Chilean miner. You're not trapped in a Chilean mine. You're Spencer Pratt.
A quid pro quo, ergo, tooth for a tooth. I'm okay. Sarah Jessica Parker, stylist. Thank you. Good night.
That okay, makes no sense
well,
at all.
Well, listen, prepare for the war, young lady.
What war?
The Milagro Beanfield War.
Okay, that's a movie with Robert Redford. Listen, the reason we asked
really
you to come
old
in today,
one.
And I can't believe we even asked you to come back in today because you're a big waste of time, is this new video that you posted. You've got a new YouTube channel where you're posting videos because you don't have a TV show anymore. I just want to play as much as I can stand of this video. And I guess the gist of it is you've been growing your hair out and you look like a homeless guy and now you're going to shave it off with a knife or something. But let's listen to a little bit of your video and then maybe you can explain what's going on, Spencer.
Hi, I'm astronaut Spencer Pratt. And I'm here on this special day because I will be removing my flesh-colored beard in honor of things working out between my wife, Heidi Montag, and myself. We were going to have some very special teammates from some major corporations be involved, some major shaving creams, some major razors, but that all fell through because head executives feel that I'm off-brand.
Okay,
no,
stop
I have
right
no
stop
ill
right
will.
First of all, why are the Beverly Hillbillies backing you up on banjos? What's up with that?
Because I am, in fact, a hillbilly from Beverly Hills.
No, you're not.
It's
at
true.
All.
What?
What do you know about what do you know about the Tet Offensive? Okay.
Second of all,
that we were talking about
here,
it. I know
no,
that.
Hey, Bobby up there on your island.
That's mean.
Throw stones from your ivory tower, because I'm the green-eyed lady. I'm the brown-eyed girl. I got the eye of the tiger. That's right. Sugarloaf, Survivor, Van Morrison. I was Van Morison, stylist and chiropractor in 1978.
That's not your,
recognized neckbeard technique.
Why do you say in honor of it working out with me and my wife when clearly you guys never broke up? This whole thing was yet another media sham. You've
was
never
it?
Been more together.
You don't
than
know
you are
about
now.
Emotions, okay? Emotions between two people when they're in love. Okay, she was working on her modeling career and had a lot going on with her music. I was still the mouth heart player for ELO, and there
weren't.
Was a lot of demands put on both of us, and we
so
realized
it's just a stressful time,
there's
so you drifted
a lot
apart.
More important things in this world than career.
Like what?
Like us, like Heidi, my beautiful wife, and myself, and okay. what we can create between each other when we get together.
In terms of career.
Look, here, what's your name?
Lisa.
Lonnie? I love,
yes, it's
I
Lonnie.
I love lollipops. And are you ready to make that kind of commitment? That's what I'm asking you.
To love okay. lollipops.
Yeah.
That's a right. tough one.
The sponsors fell through because no one's watching. No one cares about you anymore. No one wants
Whoa.
To be associated. No one's going to associate their brand with you.
People are throwing money at me left and right because
no,
they
not.
Love Spence Dog and they love what he can bring to any type of project in the art world. And I'm channeled, okay? So throw your insults. All the haters out there, keep hating. I drink up Haterade like there's no tomorrow. I've got my mentors and my spiritual guide, Arlen Specter and Sally Jesse Raphael. And they okay. keep me together, okay?
You're just picking out random names from the news.
No,
all right, listen,
it's a thumb war out there, buddy. And believe me,
war.
As the air hockey champion of the world,
You're
I'm ready to fight that war. Ha ha.
Okay, Spencer, don't let the door hit you on the way out. We
Check
gotta go.
My
See you later.
Nipples. And listen, if anything were to happen to me, and I just want to say this in parting, you know,
okay.
if anything ever were to happen to me, I would be survived by my wife, Molly Hatch.
David Bonilla from Sherman Oaks won tickets for K-Rock's 2010 Epicenter this weekend. Two tickets for both days and backstage passes. Your chance to win coming up on the Kevin Bean Show on K-Rock. It is 7:41. Oh, there's your music, Ralph. There it is.
Finally, it's here.
Fringe, it was a long summer for Fringe fans after that unbelievable cliffhanger at the end of last season, but it returns tonight on the Fox Network at 9 o'clock. We are always very excited to get to catch up with Olivia from the show. Actress Anna Torv joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show here. Hi, Anna. Welcome back. How are you?
I'm really well, thank you. Good morning.
And well, I have to give you congratulations because I was talking to some friends in the office about this just this morning. And there's a lot of shows, a lot of fantasy adventure shows on television that rely on a certain mythology. You can go back to X-Files and Lost and that kind of stuff. And they always seem to get murkier. But Fringe has gotten more crystal clear and the narrative, it keeps moving forward. And it really has gotten better and better as the show's progressed.
Aw, thank you. I feel that as well. You sort of, when you're working on it too, you sort of, like, and we're in our third season now, and I don't know, everything, I think that as well. I sometimes get nervous when people ask me to explain the show, and then I start thinking, oh, there's quite a few plot lines that I need to put in there.
Yeah, there's a lot there's a lot that goes on, but it really, the show is coming more and more into focus and is getting clearer as we move along.
Yeah. I think maybe that yeah. Good.
It is good. Yeah. It's very good.
Yeah, it's got to be great. I mean, you work with such unbelievable actors on the show, and that's always, you know, fun and rewarding for you as an actor. But when you can have the kind of confidence that you must have in the writers, even when a storyline is unbelievably complex, to know that they're going to figure out a way to be able to present it on television that's also going to be entertaining, that has to give you some real freedom to not worry about that.
You do. You just kind of let it go. But, you know, it takes a minute before you kind of, the first thing, we would read the scripts, go, oh my God, I don't even understand that. And then slowly you get sort of more, relaxed with the material too, I think. But, that's, oh God, some of the science stuff, it's just a credit to John Noble to be able to get that out and make it entertaining.
Yeah, he is so amazing. And how fun for you guys towards the end of last year, and I'm sure much of this season coming up, to get to play two different versions of yourself on the same show. That's got to be a blast.
That was such a blast. And also, I think, you know, this is our third season, and I just don't know when you get the chance to, you know, like all of a sudden fundamentally start playing with a bunch of new people, which, you know, in what I guess is kind of almost another show. It's been just a thrill. We should have been popping back and forth, and yeah.
Exactly. Let's try to get some new viewers on board for the premiere of season 3 tonight. I know it's a complicated plot, but essentially what you need to know going into tonight's show is, there's an alternate universe, and you are unaware of the alternate Olivia, right?
Oh no, she knows about her.
We are aware. We had like a showdown actually. Yeah. The two Olivias at the end of last season had like a bit of a showdown together.
The greatest cat fight ever on television. The two Olivias going at it.
When I read that, I was so excited. I was like, really? I'm actually going to fight myself? Until it took us 2 days, and I was sort of acting to a space in the middle of the room. But, yeah, that was pretty cool. So, no, we are aware of the alternate world, and we're aware of the alternate people. And we sort of, at the end of last season, we went over to rescue Peter, who had gone back there, because that is actually where he's from.
Right.
We brought him back to this world, but what nobody knows at the moment, and which is where we sort of pick up, is that the alternate Olivia actually switched up, and she's headed back to this world, and our Olivia is actually stuck in the alternate universe.
Yeah, she's in a box, and that broke my heart at the end, I got to tell you.
Yeah, broke mine too.
But now bad Olivia, or Bolivia, as we like to call her, she is now portraying you, and Walter and Peter and the rest of the gang don't realize that it's not their Olivia that they know.
That's correct.
Yes.
Now, is there some sort of a master plan, a button that can be pushed or something like that is going to eventually either make the alternate universe disappear or kind of bring them back into synchronicity again so that there's only one universe?
Well, I think that's kind of like one of the themes of this season is that, like, what, you know, I guess whose side are you on or what is happening? Why is this, I guess, war going on? So I don't want to give anything away.
No, I understand. Well, it's all Walter's fault because he created the opening, and now we had to find a way to seal it up to keep everybody where they belong.
That's right.
Yes.
So they're all fighting their side. You know, no one's bad. It's just that they're from a different universe.
Now, Anna, I know you get the opportunity to talk to lots of Fringe fans in your travels. Do you run into a lot of them, like my man Ralph Garman here, who really thinks it's real?
You don't really think it's real. No, nobody really thinks it's real, but that's when you know you're on a show that people are excited about, because when you do meet them, all they want to know is what's going to happen next and what happened. You know, in episode, you know, 208, this happened, and did you really mean that? So it's always fun that, you know, people are interested in the show, you know,
well,
and what's going
to
go.
It's a lot of shows that have some clever concepts to them, but it really is to your credit and to Joshua's credit and John Noble's credit that you have created such characters that we care about so much that we really get invested in the story. So thanks so much.
Oh, thank you. Greatly appreciated.
And this is obviously a very difficult week for TV viewers to keep everything straight because every night there are so many returning shows and so many new shows. So we definitely wanted to have Anna on to point out that it's finally here, the return of Fringe Season 3, tonight at 9 o'clock on the Fox Network. Can't wait. It looks like it's going to be another great season. Anna, you're always welcome on the program. Thanks so much for coming on.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Black hole.
Oh, come on. Why the hole got to be black,
first of all?
Second of all, you're listening to the world-famous K-Rock. It is 7:56. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Our old friend Jimmy Kimmel joins us after the top of the hour. He wants to invite you to a party tonight. So stick around for that invitation. Right now, Ralph's here with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Woo-woo! Woo! Woo!
I'll be there. San Gennaro Feast.
It's great.
Yeah. Best time of the year. Before I get to the Showbiz news, I do want to give you a heads up. I am no longer sending out any Sharktopus pins because apparently people in the post office are tearing into the envelope and stealing them.
Are you kidding?
I've got about a half a dozen complaints where people said, I got sent an empty envelope. Someone has torn into the envelope and stolen the Sharktopus pin from inside.
Is it possible that they are being ripped apart in the machine that stamps them?
Six of them?
Yeah, but I'm saying
I took to the counter at the counter place.
Into a machine to be sorted. And what it sounds like to me is happening is that the button is breaking apart the envelope when it goes through the sorting machine because it's not wrapped. It needs to be wrapped in something.
But it's to stop defending the post office, first of all.
I'm giving you my theory as to what happens.
It's a quarter inch. Don't they have packages all the time? Envelopes they're going through with pens and other things involved in it that they have to hand cancel and they move along?
Did you send it from the radio station return address?
Yes. And it says KROQ, our home station here in Los Angeles, on the envelope.
Someone saw that and saw Ralph Garman, and they opened it up.
That's what I'm thinking, that they must be listeners or whatever, and they jacked people's pins. And I feel bad. But I'm out of pins now, so I can't send them any new ones.
That's crap.
So I feel bad now. But
they can still watch Sharktopus for free Saturday night on the Sci-Fi Channel.
That's what I'm saying, and I encourage that highly. And we'll be talking to Eric Roberts, the star of Sharktopus, later on today. I'm very excited.
You're the star of Sharktopus, first of all. He's lucky enough to be in your movie.
Well, there's a Sharktopus in Linkin Park. No, the star, obviously, of the film is Sharktopus himself.
Yes.
So really, there is no star other than Sharktopus.
Okay, that's fair.
Well, I like to think I'm a key supporting character in the show. But Eric is the creator of Sharktopus, so it's pretty impressive. You know what I'm saying, Eric?
Eric.
Eric?
What about Eric?
Eric?
Yeah, Eric.
There we go, Mike. I knew you could get there eventually. Speaking of classic films, you know my love for Troll 2, right?
Yeah.
Sure, of course.
Milbog.
Milbog, of course, is the town that it takes place in, because it's Goblin backwards. And you know, Best Worst Movie, the documentary about the making of that classic film. Well, I wanted to give you a heads up. On the 29th and 30th of this month, that's next week, they are going to be screening both Troll 2 and the documentary about that film that just came out this year, Best Worst Movie, at the New Beverly Theater here in Los Angeles. The cool thing is both Michael Paul Stevenson, who's the little boy in the movie, and then the director of the documentary, he's going to be there, as is Dr. Dentist George Hardy, who played the father in Troll 2. He will be on hand as well. They'll be doing Q&As and stuff. So it's the New Beverly Theater on Beverly Boulevard in Los Angeles. You can check it out. That's next week, the 29th and 30th. It's good times. Okay, speaking of a rapist in Linkin Park, Linkin Park scored their fourth number one album this week. Congratulations to the boys. A Thousand Suns sold over 241,000 copies.
I really like it.
In just a week. That's according to Nielsen SoundScan. They keep track of these things. And they just barely squeaked past Trey Songz. His fourth album, Passion, Pain, and Pleasure, sold about 240,000 copies. So he was number two on the Billboard 100. But congratulations to Linkin Park. That's great.
All right, now I have a boner.
Oh, good for you, Lisa. Good for you. You know, Madonna may be a little long in the tooth, but she's still attractive enough to attract some stalkers, which is just great. Apparently, the New York PD picked up a guy who was camped outside her Manhattan apartment with signs, one of which that read, M, the universe brought us together in 1992 and again this year in Prague. Meet me, please, triple X.
Ew.
Yeah, his name is Richard Linhart, and apparently he's a loon.
Yeah.
Who's got a thing for Madonna, and cops hauled him into custody on the grounds of criminal mischief. My favorite of all crimes, by the way, yeah. Criminal mischief. Broke out a joy buzzer the other day and almost went away. It was spectacular. And if you enjoyed Lone Star,
yeah,
you are one of seven people.
Of course. Of course.
Did you watch Lone Star, Lisa?
I watched half of it.
Did you
and
like
I
it?
Liked it.
Here's the thing. Hollywood power brokers, people in charge, television executives, I will make you a deal. I will loan Lisa Mae out to your particular network or production company. Have her watch your fall lineup. Anything that she really likes, cancel immediately and do not put on the air. Because she is the kiss of death.
That may be true, but it doesn't mean it was a bad show.
Yeah, okay, whatever you need to say.
But sometimes I watch critically acclaimed shows.
Wasn't this the 50th TV show or movie in a row where a guy has a double life and he's got a woman over here and a woman over there and they don't know? I mean,
it's not a fresh concept. Not a fresh concept.
Yeah,
I agree.
That was what turned me off on it. Is I just feel like I'd seen it before.
Turned you off as a guy having sex with a bunch of chicks? That would bother you?
No.
Two
tiny
women?
I'm not related.
It seems like a lot of work to have two wives. I would just rather have one llama and a bale of alfalfa.
Any way we can get Betty White on this show.
Yeah. I'll lend you Bean out, too, by the way, Power Brokers. If you want to look at anything,
Bean and I will
like.
Watch shows
yes,
together.
And you'll just be the show killers. And congratulations to Bruno Mars. He has the number one single in the nation right now. Just the Way You Are is a chart topper. And he can celebrate that while he's in jail for possession of cocaine because he was in Las Vegas, arrested on Sunday at the Hard Rock Hotel and Casino for walking into a men's room stall carrying a big bag of blow.
It's not great timing for a guy who's getting ready to drop his debut album, that's for sure.
Yeah. Well, he's got the number one single. Yeah, that's going for him.
Unbelievably talented.
I have
guy.
A clip.
He can. Do you? Oh, great.
Just hit the east side of the front.
Wow.
Powerful girls.
Wow. I can see why he needs the blow. He needs a little pick-me-up. He sounds almost as if he's had a stroke. Here's the thing, Bruno Mars. You don't walk into the men's room carrying the blow in your hand so that the men's room attendant can see clearly you carrying the plastic baggie full of white powder into the stall.
Right, you put it in Paris's purse.
Be subtle. Be oblique. Be clever. Fly under the radar, for corn's sake. Arrogance, man. Arrogance. Right. That's the biggest offender right there. That's the biggest crime.
Not just a river in Africa.
That's denial.
No.
Different,
damn.
Mike. Today's celebrity birthdays, Julio Iglesias.
Yeah.
Who was your relative?
It was my grandmother.
Your grandma.
Yeah,
she
the beautiful
Julio,
Beatrice
huh?
Gonzalez. She was partying down so hard.
Oh.
She was so hot for Julio at a concert in the 70s
yeah.
that she lost her wedding ring and her watch.
Yeah, and her panties.
Uh-huh.
The back of the tour bus.
Uh-huh.
That's what I'm guessing.
Yeah, Julio wrecked my grandma.
She's 67 years old today. The boss, Bruce Springsteen, is 61 years old. David Alexander from Seinfeld, 51. Shy McBride from Human Target, one of my other favorite shows over there on Fox. He is 49 years old today. You know, the star of Human Target was married to Anna Torv.
That's yes. right.
And they've yes. since split up, which broke my heart.
Now maybe he can marry the alternate Olivia. Maybe he can marry her instead. He could still be married to her.
Could go with Bolivia.
Yeah.
Bad Olivia. Jermaine Dupri is 38 years old today. And Dodgers center fielder Matt Kemp celebrates his 26th birthday.
Yes.
We just want to give him a shout out because he has very little else to celebrate these days. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. What about our old friend Jimmy Kimmel? What about Jimmy Kimmel,
yeah.
by the way?
What about him?
Having the Hoff on his late-night TV show on ABC last night. Jim, that must have broken your heart to see the Hoff off of Dancing with the Stars. What are you going to talk about for the next 2 months?
Yeah, that was a couple nights ago, but it really was disappointing.
It's
have you ever had a real conversation with the Hoff?
Has anyone? You can't do it, Jim.
It is. It's totally impossible, and I would like to strangle whoever it was that told him he should work Hoff into every word that maybe even rhymes with it a little.
Does it piss you off, Jim?
it turns me off. It's very off-putting.
I saw him being interviewed immediately after the vote on Dancing with the Stars the other night, and it's almost like he couldn't wait to start screaming in that room, "The Hoff is off! The Hoff is off!" He just is obsessed with that, I guess.
I had him on the show a couple of weeks ago also, and he announced that he was appearing in Laughlin, and I said, "You mean Hofflin?" And it was as if he'd been hit by a wrecking ball. He's like, "Oh my God, how did I not think of that?" I can see the wheels turning. I can see him changing street signs in the city.
I wonder how he's going to open his show.
He is such a weird guy. I'm trying to figure out what's going on with him. It's almost like he feels like people are always making fun of him, so he puts on that bizarre personality as kind of a defense mechanism.
I don't know. I don't know if it's even that complicated. I think he was just programmed. Do you remember many years ago when we were on a red carpet for some stupid movie, and he pulled up and leaped out of the car as if, and this is when he'd been off the radar for quite a while, and he just leaped out of his vehicle and presented himself as if like Superman had landed on the red carpet.
Yes, he did. He stretched his hands out like Jesus, and it was almost like, "I'm here. The party can begin.
let the festivities begin."
That's the beauty of Hasselhoff. Is in his mind, he has never been off the radar. He is always
the radar.
He has always been front and center.
He's
and
off the radar.
That's right. Yes.
Well, it's great times on the Jimmy Kimmel Live Show. By the way, tonight I want to mention Zach Galifianakis, who's always hysterical, and Snooki are going to be on the program. Phoenix tomorrow night.
Yeah. Speaking of Snooki, Jim, do not invite her to the feast of San Gennaro, whatever you do. I know she's going to want to go. Do not allow her to go.
Why not?
Because that whole Guidette, Jersey Shore thing, it's just going to put, they're going to put their stink all over the feast. And you know, it's one of my favorite events of the year.
Could you think, though, I mean, is there anywhere that she would be more welcome than wandering under the tables at that feast?
My fear is her and the situation are going to have a seat at your table, and it's just going to make me, put me right off my Zappoli.
You know, some of them, I have to say, believe it or not, like, you'd think they would be, because when I watch that show, I'll admit, it makes me ashamed to be an Italian American.
It's as it should.
Of course, yeah.
But they're actually, like, nicer. I think it's kind of an acting, but we'll find out, I guess.
Of course,
we'll drop her in the vat of oil that we cooked the Zeppelis in.
Perfect. There we go. That's a great idea. This Feast of San Gennaro that Ralph mentioned is something that Jimmy Kimmel and a friend came up with. It's got to be 9-10 years ago now, right?
This is our ninth year.
Okay, and it gets bigger and bigger every year. And I remember at the time when you started it, Jimmy, you said, "We have this back home in New York. Why don't we have it in Los Angeles? We need to." It was something that you felt needed to be done. And the purpose of the event every year, besides just a great opportunity to party and have great food, is what? Is to raise money, essentially, right?
Yeah, to raise money for me and the kids at Jersey Shore.
Oh, that's great.
It's for local charities. My friend's place is one of them. There are a lot of very good local charities. We give money to Hollywood High School, and we give money to various food banks, and Precious Cheese gives cheese to these. And you know what? There's nothing the poor need more than cheese.
That's true.
You've often said that.
It's filling and binding, so you don't lose food that often.
It's also a great place to remember that people still play the accordion.
That's true. It's the only time of the year I do hear accordion music is at the feast.
How are you doing for celebrities? You usually honor some great Italian-American. Who's got it this
good
year?
Good ones this year. Good ones.
Do we have good ones, Ralph?
Yeah, the legendary Connie Stevens, one of my favorites.
Connie Stevens, that's
She's
right.
so hot. That's She's right. so hot. She's still so hot, by the way.
Well, you know what, Bean? You should make a special trip down here to make sweet, sweet love to Connie.
Oh, if I could. If that could be guaranteed, I would get on a plane right now, Jimmy.
And you got Robert Dobby, too, right?
That's right. Yeah. And the band Trombone Shorty, you guys know that band?
Yes. I have their album, as a matter of fact.
They're going to play at the feast, and, you know, it'll be the usual assortment of Dagos.
Look, the important thing is, really, Jim, and I know it's all for charity, and you're a buddy, and Frankie Compitelli, who helps you out with it, he's a buddy, but it's the food. You got to go for the food.
That's right. The food and, of course, the
bingo.
The fake tans, yeah.
Fake tans.
And, you know, we've renamed the bingo Bada Bingo this year.
Bada Bingo! Hey, very timely, because The Sopranos is on everyone's lips this year.
And, you know, the sort of shaky carny guys who run the rides, too. I enjoy that enormously.
The shakiest of all carny guys. I mean, really, the Muhammad Ali and Michael J. Fox of carny guys.
Yeah, I met one last year at the feast that was Jesus. he was actually dressed as Jesus, and he made you refer to him as Jesus. And
well,
he was like,
hold on a second. Let me just point out that he was dressed as Jesus, but that was not the real Jesus. Jesus has a lot of helpers, and he was one of Jesus' helpers, and that was not the actual Jesus.
That's how you explain it away to the kids.
Yeah. Let's tell people how they can come to the Feast of San Gennaro. It is kicking off, well, officially with the Fancy Spancy Celebrity Party. That's tonight.
And you're going to raise a ton of money. Follow the North Star, and then you'll find Jesus.
Bring some frankincense.
But for us plebeians, for the rest of us, it's going to be tomorrow through Sunday. The Feast of San Gennaro is right across the street from where Jimmy does his TV show, down there by Highland Avenue, Highland and Hollywood, in that area. You got a whole bunch of area that's roped off.
We close up the street and bring the
And it's
kids.
Only $5? Is that all it costs to get in? Is $5 for the feast?
It's actually less than that, really, because if you pay the $5 admission, you can use we give you tickets and you can use that to get the food. But we just want to control it a little bit so we don't have bands of street gangs roaming through the event.
All right, general admission is $5. Kids under 12 free. U.S. military receives half off opening night. Free admission all weekend.
It's half off.
That's right. All proceeds benefit the San Gennaro Foundation. You can get the details at feastofla.org. As Ralph has said, it is one of the coolest events of the year in Southern California. And something you definitely got to check out.
It's a kind of thing you don't see a lot of in Los Angeles. It's a real street party, a block party with a lot of great people and a lot of great food. And it's a great, great atmosphere. And it's great for families. If you've got kids and stuff, it's a great weekend. So all weekend long, I really highly recommend you check it out.
Well, thank you, Ralph. And thank you for coming every year. And it is a lot of fun. And it is a big pain in my ass. But people seem to enjoy it so much that we can never, ever end it.
No.
All right. Jimmy, we love you, man. Thanks for coming on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Thanks, fellas.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Time to welcome back to the show, as we do every Thursday, our old friend Dr. Drew Pinsky, on his way to catch a plane going to Denver tonight. Drew, is that what's going on?
I am going to Denver. I'm going to be speaking tomorrow at the Denver Center for the Performing Arts.
I can't imagine the frequent flyer miles on Dr. Drew. It's awesome. Just, it's got to be crazy with your schedule.
I'm a 1K. It's awesome.
You're like George Clooney and up in the air. All right, real quick before you go, because we got a couple things. There's been a lot of great celebrity and celebrity rehab type items in the news. First of all, did you feel a little burned having come out a week ago or so saying that Lindsay was on the right path to straighten out her life, and then she fails a drug test?
No. I said that after she failed the drug test.
Oh, did you?
You guys got the timeline all wrong. It's just that she went on Twitter and said, look, I've got a disease. I'm a mess. I need time. Please give me some time. And I thought, boy, that is an honest statement. That's the first honest thing I've heard from her in a long time. A, she identified with the disease. B, she knows it's going to take forever. And C, she's wanting to do something about it. So I thought, that's okay. Let's give her that chance. That's all I'm saying.
Ralph was saying earlier that it looks like the police are not going to recommend jail time for her for that cocaine that was in her system, and instead they're going to go the other way, which is to say this chick needs treatment.
Damn you, Sharktopus.
But, I mean, that's what you've been saying all along, is this is more of a medical issue than a legal issue, right?
Yes, absolutely. In fact, some have asked me to write letters on her behalf and stuff, you know, that she needs treatment. I'm like, I don't know Lindsay Lohan. It's almost comical, but that's in fact what she needs. And the judge seems fairly enlightened, and the team that's taking care of her seems like they're good and appropriate. Now she has the right kind of sort of enlightened team that understands addiction very well, and now she needs time, and we'll see what happens. I mean, listen, I was talking, you know, your old friend Adam Carolla, I was talking to yesterday, and he made an interesting point to me. He goes, you know, I've never seen a young person that's into the party scene just all of a sudden, no matter what the legal issues are, be willing to get well. And I had to agree with him. For young people, it's very difficult for them to capitulate to treatment. She's almost there. The other thing is, let's remember back 4 years ago when Lindsay and Brittany and
Paris
were sort of hitting the scene, and everyone was so concerned that they were going to be role models for our children and these kind of party girls out of control. I actually wrote my book about it, The Mirror Effect, that this was really a serious problem, and watch what will happen. Well, now we're seeing what will happen. Paris and Lindsay in jail twice. Brittany's been in a locked psychiatric ward. It's jail, prison, or death for people that have these kind of mental health issues.
But Dr. Drew, despite all the personal damage in someone like Lindsay's life and the fact that she's having trouble getting work and whatnot, does the public get to a point where they stop being willing to give chances to those people and stop caring about them if they repeatedly seem to violate the trust that we have in them to stay on the street narrow?
Look, why do we care in the first place, Bean? I mean, my God, this is just a person with a mental health issue who's just struggling. And we sit in disdain and judgment. And I think that's all just the public acting out its envy of people that have, you know, what appears to be more than we do. And in fact, they probably don't. And that's my big point, is like, let's forget it. Let it go. It's who cares? There's other things to be concerned about.
Well, I also think a lot of it, too, is based on the celebrities' kind of reaction to it. I mean, when you've got excuses and you're filled with denial, the public doesn't really cater that too much. But a guy like Robert Downey Jr., who from the start has been open about the fact that he's battled his addictions and he just hopes he can be forgiven for it, you know, the public took to him very well.
But not from the start, though. If you remember, he was in and out and in and out, and people were extremely disdainful of him. And he, you know, and he was falling on his sword again and again, but he kept ending up in court. And finally, it's the work that take these people out. I'm telling you something. You remember he went back and did that, what was the television show? Ally McBeal. Did Ally McBeal, then he relapsed. I see this all the time. Celebrities and people in media need to take like a year or 2 years out. The work is so gratifying, they make so much money, that they go back way prematurely. And it's, you know, even Tiger Woods went back too soon. You notice he's no longer talking about his treatment. And the fact is it derails the treatment completely. And they just aren't willing to do that. The work is too gratifying. To make too much money until all hell breaks loose. Robert Downey contemplated that he would never act again. That's why he got sober.
Yeah.
Interesting. Hey, Dr. J, did you see the shout-out you got on the Letterman show last night?
I heard about it. I still have trouble believing that he wasn't goofed up more than he's claiming to have been.
Let's listen. Here's Joaquin Phoenix sitting down with David Letterman talking about, of course, the last appearance that he made that was so crazy and so talked about a year and a half ago. He does shout out Dr. Drew. It's pretty funny.
You know, there's some things I feel bad about. I know, like, Dr. Drew lost some sleep.
What was the deal on him?
He diagnosed me based on the interview.
What did he come up with?
I can't remember what it was, but he obviously cares a great deal.
Well, what did he have to say about me? I don't care about you. What did he say about me?
That's very funny. You know, there's an opening there. I may give him a call.
Yeah, there you go.
Tell him what I think about him.
But that's got to be so weird for you, Dr. Drew, because people are, and our show is guilty of it too, constantly asking for your medical opinion on patients that you haven't seen.
Right, but look, I mean, well, this is sort of what people are, I don't want to say entertained by, but fascinated with, which is, you know, there are how many channels on your cable dedicated to people commentating and speculating about political issues and economic issues. There are people that commentate on what they think they're seeing, and that's what I do in people's behavior.
Dr. Drew joins us every Thursday here on the Kevin DeBean Show. He, of course, is the co-host of the nationally syndicated Loveline Show. And don't miss Celebrity Rehab, now debuting Wednesday, December 1st on the VH1. Dr. Drew, have a great time in Denver, man. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks,
guys. Epicenter 2010 is this weekend. Chris Hurley from Simi Valley just won his tickets from the world-famous K-Rock. It is 8:38. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. A lot of ways to contact the show. Of course, you can always email us through the website at kevinandbean.com. You can always call us during the show at 1-800-520-1067. Or you can call the Kevin and Bean Afro line at 323-520-AFRO. If you think of something you want to share with us, even if we're not on the air 24-7, we're available to take your calls. You know, Omar was on yesterday doing the Glee Cab, because Glee is back for season 2. And Omar's also the guy who puts the Afro line calls together for us to play on the radio. So I'm wondering if he's stacking the deck a little bit, because there seem to be quite a few callers who agree with him on Glee. I know it's an enormously popular show, but you wouldn't know it from this caller.
I just got one thing to say. Glee.
Okay, so he called, and then here's the next call.
I actually agree with Omar. Glee show. Fuck that show. Everybody in there. Everybody who watches it. This car next to me.
Okay, now here's a caller to the Kevin Mean Afro line who may not have been a big Glee fan, but once we had actor Mark Salling on, who plays Puck on the show, I think Puck turned him around.
Oh my God, I didn't think I could hate Glee any more than I do until you interviewed the actor from the show.
Wow, this must be long hours. Oh, you have no idea.
Of course I have no idea. That's what we're freaking asking, you freaking moron. Ask Glee.
That so, might not have been his intention. You know?
No, maybe not. A lot of Glee love on the Afro line. Changing topics now. As you know, Mike hates the gays, and he figured out a way to get the Daily 10 over there on the E! Show canceled
on 2.0.
Right? What, am I not accurately describing what happened?
No, you're not.
The one thing we did learn is you don't cross Adam Lambert fans, and I think that's what this call's about.
Psycho Mike, how dare you make fun of Mr. Adam Lambert?
He is a national treasure. And you just don't talk about national treasures like that. Like, oh my God, I loved you. I loved you so much, and then you had to go and talk about that. I don't remember. You just don't talk about that. I don't remember like that. I'll tell you.
You've been getting a lot of that the last few days, have you?
Similar tone, yeah.
You put out the invitation for Mr. Lambert to join you on Loveline. No takers yet, right?
No, but we'll see. The executive producer, Ann, has been working hard trying to get in touch with his people, and hopefully that'll come around.
Okay. This is quite a contribution to the Kevin and Bean Show. We're going to save this. This may be a great way to start every morning.
It's morning. I'm hungry. How should I start my day? Lisa May for breakfast? Hip, hip, hooray. Yummy, yummy, yummy. Tummy, tummy, tummy. Lisa May.
Yeah. Wow. She got a little motorboating at the end there.
I like it.
She's got everything but a horn. A very controversial guest on the program back on Monday, internationally renowned psychic Char Margolis was here, and she was talking to some of our listeners and contacting, you know, people from beyond the grave for them. Everybody seemed like they had a good time. Mm-hmm. Not everyone on the Afro line necessarily is down with Char.
I'm seeing something with a B. B. Something with a B. Ah, bullshit. Geez, why don't you guys just book a wizard next time? It'd be just as authentic.
And one more also on Char.
Oh, hi, Char, the psychic. Oh, hello. Okay, is there somebody in your life with someone starts her name? A B? A C? Okay, not really. Okay, hold on. I'm not getting it clear. Is it a C? Is there a C name? Is there a C name somewhere in your life? Yeah, I guess. Okay, who's your father? Daryl. Okay, so it's a D name. DC, stuff kind of thing. Okay. Is your father dead? No. Okay, yeah. So he's not dead. How about your mom? Is your mom dead? No. Do you know anybody that's dead? I met somebody that died in a car accident once. Okay, yeah, they said hi. Oh, no. They said hi.
That's about how it went. Call us 24 hours a day, 323-520-AFRO. And Ralph's got the showbiz beat next on The Kevin and Bean Show. Whoa! 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. It's 8:51. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. Saturday, by the way, is the world premiere of a little movie called Sharktopus.
Oh, yeah!
On the Sci-Fi Channel.
Thank you, Mr. Know-It-All.
Oh, wrong button.
A poof. There we go. Sci-Fi Channel, S-Y-F-Y, Sci-Fi. It's not just for Eureka anymore. I can't wait for this movie. And your co-star, Eric Roberts, joins us coming up after the top of the hour here.
That's Eric. What I'm talking about.
Yeah, should be very exciting.
Together again for the first time, me and Eric Roberts.
Yeah, Eric.
Yeah, I love how Hollywood works. You guys are in a major motion picture together, yet you've never met.
Yeah, he's the star of the movie.
No.
I was tacked on.
It's Ralph Garman's Sharktopus. Come on, that's what you make us say around the office.
They tacked me onto the dorsal fin of the Sharktopus towards the end
of
shooting.
Did Eric Roberts come up with the tagline for the entire freaking movie?
Well, no, but he's got bigger and more important things to do.
Hey, does anyone else in the movie say, damn you, Sharktopus, or is it just you?
It's just me. Okay. I own that line. It is mine. I let him rent it for the movie, but it's mine, baby.
Well, very excited to talk to Mr. Eric Roberts coming up here on the Kevin.
Yeah, Eric.
Show. Right now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat on a Thursday. What's happening?
You know when you've got old relationships, old boyfriends, girlfriends, what have you, and it's painful when sometimes those old relationships are brought up.
Sure.
Now imagine you're a celebrity. Imagine it was a high-profile relationship, and that's got to carry you. You got to haunt you for the rest of your life,
yeah.
Right? So, such is the case with Jon Bon Jovi. Apparently, Bon Jovi's former tour manager, Rich Bozzett, has written a book called Sex, Drugs, and Bon Jovi.
Uh-oh.
So, here's a former friend who's written a tell-all book about his boss, which is distasteful at best.
What can you say about Bon Jovi? Isn't he like the cleanest guy in rock? He's been married to his high school sweetheart all these years. I mean, what's the dirt on this dude?
Yeah, but this is painful because Bon Jovi apparently had a relationship with Diane Lane back in the 80s.
Okay.
When he was single.
Okay.
And he really was head over heels in love with Diane Lane. But according to the book, this Rich Bozzett says that she was a bit of a party girl, and that led her to hooking up with Richie Sambora.
Yeah.
Now imagine the woman you love is hooking up with your buddy who's your guitarist.
Yeah, that's awkward.
It ends badly. And apparently the New York Daily News asked Diane Lane about these stories, and she said her memory is a little fuzzy of that time period in her life. It was 25 years ago, so she's not commenting. But Diane Lane now seems like the all-American girl, you know, long marriage to Josh Brolin, does all these sort of romantic comedies where she always plays like the misunderstood MILF and that kind of stuff.
Right.
Apparently back in the 80s, Waka Waka.
Party time.
She was working her way through Bon Jovi.
Now imagine if you're Josh Brolin and you're like, wait, my wife was totally getting trained by Bon Jovi. And
well, like, Josh did his damage too, so I guess all's fair.
Josh meet Diane Lane on the set of Misunderstood MILF? That was their movie they were in together, right?
It was, yeah. Hilarious comedy about switching bodies. There we go. John Gotti, the Teflon Don. I don't know if you remember this guy or not, but John Gotti ran the Gambino crime family in New York City for the better part of the 90s. And they kept trying to nail him for racketeering. Went through four trials, and every one of them ended in a mistrial. He walked away. Then eventually he got popped for 13 murders, obstruction of justice, legal gambling, extortion, tax evasion, loan sharking. They caught up with John Gotti. But they are making a movie about his life, which I think would be fascinating. I love these crime dramas, especially about the mob. Daily Variety says the focus of the script will be on Junior's last visit to his dad. Of course, John Gotti Jr.
Uh-huh.
And John Gotti Sr., both mobsters in New York. And word, no casting yet, but word is Sylvester Stallone is interested in playing the role.
Oh, interesting.
Can Stallone
I think
his dramatic career after all these action films and who he's kind of become?
I don't think that's bad casting at all. I'd give that a shot.
Sure.
And isn't it fascinating? I'm with you on the mobsters. Isn't it fascinating to watch the Boardwalk Empire on HBO and see Al Capone as a 20-year-old?
That scene.
And Lucky Luciano and all those guys. And we know what they go on to do. But here they are kind of just getting started. I don't know how historically accurate it is, but I like to think it is. And it's just interesting.
Apparently, it's pretty close. I think the character of Nucky Thompson, who's in the series, played by Steve Buscemi, he was based on another Atlantic City gangster named Nucky Johnson or something like that. But the period and the era and the involvement of these guys, especially in bootlegging, apparently is pretty true to life. So, I mean, I know that's how Capone did come up by by taking out Osolo Mio, whoever that the older dude was, the Italian guy.
I mean, did it all for the Nucky.
Okay, really? Really?
Put yourself in the file. Put yourself in the file.
I am. I suspect you won't take that back.
You bastard.
You're proud of that. Congratulations to Linkin Park. They've scored their fourth number one album. A Thousand Suns sold over 241,000 copies for the week that ended on Sunday. And that makes them number one, just ahead of Trey Songz. His fourth album, Passion, Pain, and Pleasure, sold just 240,000 copies. A couple more thousand copies, man. He would have been number one. But no. Linkin Park gets that honor.
Yeah.
White man keeping the brother down again.
And Lindsay Lohan's in the news. She is going in front of a judge tomorrow to address those probation violations of the two failed drug tests that she underwent last week. So we'll see what happens with her. In the meantime, friends say that she is struggling personally because of her relationship with ex-girlfriend Samantha Ronson. Lindsay found out Samantha was going down to Mexico to celebrate Nicole Richie's bachelorette party.
Mm-hmm. Bad idea.
And Lindsay was none too pleased about it because, first of all, she can't leave the country to go chase after her, and she was constantly worried about what Samantha was doing down there while she was partying.
Samantha does not seem like a good thing for Lindsay right now.
No, that relationship is not... It's not healthy.
It's not stress-free.
But listen, Psycho Mike, you can address this better than I. Yes. Don't they recommend when you're in recovery that for a long time you shouldn't even be engaging in interpersonal relationships?
Yeah,
right?
Typically they say at least a year.
So Lindsay needs to not worry about that so much and get her act together because she could spend more time in jail, which I think is a more pressing problem than who her manster ex-boyfriend is screwing around with. Today's celebrity birthdays, Julio Iglesias.
Yeah.
He is 67 years old today. Bean, do you wonder if he's...
I don't. I don't have any consideration at all about the women he used to date at all.
He's had affection for in the previous years? Anything like that? Anything?
No questions? No features? No comments? No.
Surprised.
He's a newlywed, you told us, though. Didn't he just recently get married, like, within the last couple weeks?
Yeah, he did.
67 years old? That's crazy.
Right. Anything else?
Nope. I'm stunned. I'm stunned at the
tension is thick.
I mean, I'm sure a lot of people showed up to the reception. I'm sure people of all kinds, all sorts of different relationships with Mr. Iglesias in the past. But no, I don't think about at all about any of the previous relationships he may have had.
I am stunned at the restraint being showing here. Bruce Springsteen, 61 years old today. Jason Alexander celebrates his 51st birthday. Chai McBride of the Human Target is 49 years old. Jermaine Dupri, rapper, producer, record exec. He is 38 years old. And Los Angeles Dodgers center fielder Matt Kemp celebrates his 26th birthday. I think he's dating someone famous at Matt Kemp.
Oh, he's been dating Mimi Rana. Go say Rakandutu, but say Jason, happy birthday when they say Blue Club. Say happy birthday. The island cemetery complete.
Don't forget, say hello to Jane Biondi.
And to Rihanna. Thanks for stopping
Tommy
by,
Tommy Lasorda, have a bad breath.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Song still makes me see Transformers every time I hear it. There's nothing I can do about that. That's Linkin Park of the world-famous K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ. It is 9:12. Hit it, Steve. Sharktopus. Where's my music? What happened to
where's
the music there, Michael?
Mike?
Hey, this sounds actually not my fault.
Mike.
You're bad for creep show, Sharktopus debuts this Saturday night, September 25th at 9 on the Sci-Fi Channel. We couldn't be more excited about the movie because our boy Ralph Garman is in it. But, of course, the great Eric Roberts is in it also, who is always extremely entertaining to watch, and we can't wait. Eric, welcome to the Kevin and Meet Show, my friend. How are you?
Am I on the air?
You are,
yes,
Eric.
Sir.
Hi, guys. Good morning. Ralph, how are you?
Eric, it's a pleasure to speak with you.
Ralph, first things first.
All right.
You want to be in Sharktopus 2?
Absolutely.
Okay, then you have to play Keaton Simons. His first album is called Can You Hear Me from CBS Records. And why don't you guys play him on my favorite rock station?
Wait, is this payola that we're talking about right now? Is you do something for us if we do something for you?
Absolutely, that's what it is.
That's the way the business works, right, Eric?
But Can You Hear Me by CBS Records, Keaton Simons. You guys got to play it. It'll blow you away.
All right, we'll look into it.
But yeah, we'll definitely check it out. Now, you guys are both in Sharktopus, but you had no scenes together.
That's
do I have that right, gentlemen?
That's not true. We have a love scene.
Well, I think they cut that, Eric.
You think so?
Yeah, I think they cut that one out. Exactly.
Right? Yeah, they got scared of it.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Eric, you're a guy who, let's face it, you don't have any trouble finding work. Whether it's The Dark Knight or The Expendables, whatever, you're in lots of great movies. Why Sharktopus? A lot of people were surprised to see you in this movie. There must have been something about it that you loved.
Everybody keeps making fun of me for this, but the only stone in my career I left unturned was Roger Corman. And you don't work for Roger for money because he doesn't pay.
Right.
It's the only stone I left unturned, so I did it. And it was really fun. One of my favorite scenes I've ever shot is when I fight Sharktopus because I fought air and they CGI him in there.
That's right.
And
nice.
It was so much fun. It was like being 8 years old again, I got to tell you.
You know, Eric, Declan O'Brien, the director of Sharktopus, when we were shooting my scene, said you did the most convincing air death that he had ever seen before. He was so impressed by what you've done.
So much fun.
I can totally get what you're saying because, you know, we've had Roger Corman on the show a couple times leading up to Sharktopus, and the guy's just walking Hollywood history. It's just so much fun to be around him because he's seen and done everything. And as an actor, I'm sure you had a million great conversations with him.
No, I never had a conversation. Right. He shut up and waved. He just waved from the dock as I drove off in a boat. He is old Hollywood. He's old B movie Hollywood. And I made a B movie for him, and it was really fun. And everybody makes fun of all the movies I make because I make a lot of bad movies, but they're all fun to watch. And Sharktopus is going to be a blast.
And you know, the nice thing about a movie like this, Eric, is that you don't have to worry about being too over the top when it comes to a creature feature like this.
No, you don't. And it was shot pretty much on a home movie camera, basically. So it's going to look like a documentary.
Half shark, half octopus, all
don't
cheese.
Don't give it away, no.
Well, I think people know that at this point. I think people understand that. Creates a whole lot of terror down in Mexico, starring Eric Roberts and Ralph Garman. We're talking about Sharktopus, which debuts Saturday night at 9 on the Sci-Fi Channel. Hey, Eric, I wanted to ask you this because I know your daughter, Emma, is blowing up huge right now.
Yeah.
I mean, every year she gets more popular. Does that scare you to see her becoming a big-time movie actress? Is that something you ever try to discourage her from going into your business because you've seen how tough it can be on people?
No, because she's smarter than her father, and she's got her feet on the ground, and she's not interested in bad behavior. So it's all good. She's very square. So she does not take after me, and it's all good.
Well, she's enormously talented. I know that must give you a tremendous amount of pride to see the, some of the work that she's starting to do.
That's so nice to hear from you. Thank you, Bean. I appreciate that.
All right, one more question. Everybody's talking about with the success of The Expendables that they got to make another one. Your thoughts?
Well, my thoughts are it's a shame, you know, because I died in the first one. So it'll have to be a prequel, not a sequel, if I'm in it. And I would love to be in it because I love working for Sly. He wrote, produced, starred, and directed. And it's kind of a well-kept secret, but he might be a genius, guys.
He might be, as may the creators of Sharktopus, too.
Yeah, good for you, Ralph.
Because I die in Sharktopus, and I think we need a prequel for that if I'm going to come back. Oh, that's the problem.
I will see to it if you play Can You Hear Me, Keaton Simon.
All right, Eric. Noted. Sharktopus, Sci-Fi Channel, Saturday night. Eric Roberts, great to have you on the Kevin DeBean Show, man. Thanks so much.
All my love, guys. Have a good day.
Thanks, buddy.
The shred. There's no way. Our winner's name of Epicenter 2010 tickets and backstage passes this hour is really Robert Squillas, but that's what Chip put up there.
It's pronounced Squirrel.
Squirrel?
Yeah, the loss is silent.
Okay. Congratulations, Robert. Thanks for listening to Kevin and Bean Show. Your chance to win coming up with the world-famous K-Rock. It is 9:40. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. So what do you do tonight at 9 o'clock, Ralph? You know the new TV shows are back. Grey's Anatomy comes back. I know that doesn't matter to you.
I'm so excited.
Nope.
That's a big show. It's a big popular show. You got the Office at also at 9 o'clock tonight. Uh-huh. You got CSI featuring the Biebs at 9 o'clock tonight on CBS. Justin Bieber on CSI, premiere for the new season. All opposite Fringe on Fox.
Fringe wins. Fringe
pretty strong.
Fringe.
Hard to not watch. Hard to not watch The Office.
Yeah.
Watch me. Watch me not watch it and watch Fringe instead. Here's the thing, because Fringe has an ongoing storyline where things that I am deeply, deeply involved in and characters that I'm dying to see what happens next to.
Right.
So I need to watch that as quickly as possible and get that in me. Office is funny. But, you know, you can DVR The Office and watch it at your leisure, and you'll get your laughs, and it'll be fine. But
neither of them have Justin Bieber, though.
The easiest choice is for me to avoid seeing Justin Bieber on CSI.
Okay. You think he'll have the hair, or you think they'll let him use his regular hair, or they'll
make him
comb
it? No, he's shaving his head, Bean.
No, I'm asking if he'll wear that style, or if they'll make him look like a normal human and comb his hair.
You think he's some sort of method actor who's going to change his appearance radically for his appearance on CSI?
I'm just saying that hair is ridiculous for anybody. I can't imagine they're going to let him on TV with it. That's all I'm saying. I guess we'll find out tonight. Anyway, too many damn choices on the TV tonight as the fall season begins.
You know, we got a lot of stuff coming up. We got Dexter coming back this Sunday.
Sunday, yeah. Whew, Eastbound and Down.
I'm already behind.
Oh, me too.
I'm so behind.
Last night I watched my Monday shows. Last night I watched House and Weeds. That's how far behind
I am.
It's
too much. It's too much good stuff.
It's too much. And then you
it's
go.
AM PM is what it is.
Yeah.
It's too much good stuff.
So you go weeks at a time with nothing to watch.
I know.
It's crazy.
Speaking of Bieber, we can't hunt down a source for this quote. We can't find any confirmation on this quote. But it's flying around the internet today. Justin Bieber's quote where he said, "I feel I'm the Kurt Cobain of my generation, but people just don't understand."
Nope.
Now, if you can find an actual interview or an actual source where this quote is coming from, please send it along.
He must be more self-aware than that.
We can find Miley Cyrus saying she doesn't listen to Justin Bieber's music. She's more of a Kurt Cobain fan. I don't know if somehow that has morphed into this quote. But if he did, in fact, say he feels like the Kurt Cobain of his generation, I have a shotgun he can borrow. That's all I'm
He's
saying.
He's got to be put down.
That's all I'm saying.
You know, he was born the year that Kurt died.
So you think his spirit was
transmuted
into his body?
Maybe he is Kurt Cobain. You ever think about that?
I did not think about that, and I will not think about that. Britney Spears, is she engaged?
No! No!
Well, In Touch magazine this week has a photo of Britney wearing what looks like a giant rock on her ring finger. That would be an indicator that she is indeed engaged to this Jason
Trawick,
her manager/boyfriend.
No.
Here's the thing. We have debated on this show many times. Britney Spears, hit it or don't hit it. And that can be debated, I think. But marry it? That's a no-brainer. That's a never, right? You don't do that. You just kill it before you marry it.
Well,
it depends on how immoral you are, because it's a good get-rich-quick scheme.
Right.
So if you can just put aside your personal values for some money.
There's a lot of easier ways to make money than to be married to Britney Spears. You could sell your organs.
You could sign up for a snuff film. You could, I don't know, rob the poor. I mean, there's more honorable ways of getting rich than marrying Britney Spears. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, you're right.
Chris Brown has the hots for Kim Kardashian.
Oh, lucky Kim.
Forget it, Chris. She doesn't like black dudes. Oh, wait a minute.
What?
She loves black dudes. In Touch magazine says that he wants to date her so badly, but things are going so poorly in his attempts that he has started hanging out with Rob Kardashian.
Oh.
In the hopes that being pals with her brother will eventually give him entree into the secret lady garden.
So let me ask Lisa May this question. Chris Brown claims to be rehabilitated. Do you ever take a chance and date a guy like that?
No.
And think you might get hit, or is he's off the possibility list for life?
He's off the list.
Really? Hit one woman and you're dead to you for life.
Yeah.
Wow, Lisa, you got strict standards.
I got to tell you, I don't think he's a mature kind of guy. I think he's kind of a rich, spoiled kid.
Okay.
And also,
there's no change.
And also, there's never an excuse for violence against women. But
and if you do it once, come on.
Hold on now. If a guy gets blasted out of his mind drunk and, you know, slaps a girl and he says, I would never think to do something like that in a reasonable state of mind. I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. Maybe, maybe you forgive the guy. Grabbing a girl by the back of her head and smashing her face into the dashboard of your Lamborghini.
Yeah.
I don't think there's no rehabilitation for that.
Yeah, that's too evil, right? You got too much evil inside you that could get out.
In my opinion, yeah.
Yeah, I agree. He's got demons, and I wouldn't blame a woman who would not be interested. However, he has given more hits than Reggie Bush was ever able to take. So
very true.
He's got that going for him.
Oh, my leg's broken. Take my Heisman.
He has just as many Heismans too.
That's Reggie Bush. Just as many. Bruno Mars, number one single in the nation. Congratulations, Bruno. Just the Way You Are is the name of his single. That is his first chart topper. And
I have some of that if people are not familiar with it, because it is a really good song.
I'd love to hear it.
Here's Bruno.
With our fingers, we make million holes. We run and we fall into potholes.
Yeah. Surprised that's as popular as it is. It doesn't sound like an automatic hit.
Beans being a jerk.
Oh, he is. Yeah. Oh, you have the actual clip. Oh,
I was putting one more tap of coffee in my coffee cup, and out of the corner of my eyes, I saw two guys come in, one with a black hoodie and one with a white hoodie. And the guy with the black hoodie said, "We want your money, everybody up front and down."
Were you hoping to play the auto-tune version of this?
You're hoping that was
that, was that what you were hoping to get?
Yeah, I was.
Yeah. You want to try again?
Sure.
Okay.
Here's I'm bagging up, cause my daddy taught me good. I'm bagging a lot of there, and I'm like, oh my god, oh my god, oh my god. I'm bagging up.
I think he's derailed the whole bit now.
So much better if I went there first.
No, it's perfect.
Well, I have the reel.
Oh, sweet Jesus in heaven.
The reel. We're talking about Bruno Mars, Just the Way You Are. A lot of people, maybe. A lot of people maybe haven't heard it, but here's what that sounds like.
You don't even hear the pug singing on that one. It's not even worth doing.
He doesn't care.
That's a dog singing Batman.
No, it isn't, because you don't hear the dog singing. That's what we've always told you on that stupid piece of tape you continue to play. See, that's funnier. Because that's a dog actually singing Batman. But you don't hear it with the other one.
Back to you, Ralph.
My head hurts. No, really.
What were you talking about? He got arrested or something? Or?
It's too late now.
Doesn't matter. I was just saying, he's got the number one single in America. However, he's also got troubles because he was busted over the weekend in Las Vegas for carrying cocaine into a restroom. And I believe it was the Hard Rock Hotel and Casino. Of course, where else would it be? And he got ratted out by a men's room attendant, which is unacceptable, by the way.
Absolutely
unacceptable. Hey, men's room attendants, this is what you do. You hand me a towel, and I drop a couple bucks in your basket. That's a pretty good deal. You know what that the few dollars should buy? Your effing silence. So if I want to, tune up a little bit in the men's room, because Vegas is hard. You're drinking a lot. You're staying up late hours. You don't have much energy. You need a little boost once in a while. If I need a little tune-up, you just keep your mouth shut and just hand me the free mint and some cheap cologne.
Amen.
It should be like a priest, right? The bathroom attendant.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You shouldn't be able to go to the cops and say, oh, this guy's got cocaine in the stall. F you, bathroom attendant.
between this and the hooker squealing on Beckham, I just feel like all the societal rules are breaking down anymore. What's going on?
There is just no honor anymore. That's no right. honor.
Can't trust a hooker or a bathroom attendant. Who can you trust?
Yeah, and, you're so right.
And all the altar boys squeal on the priest. Come on. What happens back there is between you two. Don't go running to mommy. Oh, the priest touched me. Come on. What happens between you and a priest is supposed to be sacrosanct. You know?
It's between you guys and God.
That's
don't keep
right.
parents involved.
Priest isn't going running telling what you said in the confessional. About your feelings for Justin Bieber.
That's right.
Man. What's going on in this world? I was kidding, by the way. People were writing angry emails about pedophile.
That
was
hear the keyboards.
That was a joke that was taken to the nth degree too for comic effect, you see. Of course, those children should report those priests because they're heinous, heinous criminals. We good?
We cool.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Julio Iglesias is 67 years old today. Bean, any feelings about women he may have had previous relationships with?
I just wonder when his birthday, you know, comes around every year about this time, if he hears from all the girls he's loved before.
There we go. Yay! That's it. That's one we've been waiting all day for. Bruce Springsteen, the boss, celebrates his 61st birthday. Jason Alexander from Seinfeld is 51 years old today. Britney Spears' first husband, too. A lot of people don't know that.
That's right.
Jason Alexander,
yeah. Same guy, yeah.
Same guy. Chi McBride is 49 years old today. He, of course, has been in many, many TV series.
He
I
has.
Guess Boston Public, was that the name of the...
Yes,
the,
he was the right. principal.
High school drama he was in. Very good in that. And now he's on Human Target over on Fox. Very entertaining gentleman. He is 49 years old today. Jermaine Dupri, rapper, producer, record exec. He is 38 years old. And Dodger center fielder Matt Kemp for the Dodgers. How many games out are they now, Mike? I know you're a big Dodgers fan. What's their magic number?
They are mathematically eliminated from making the playoffs, Ralph.
So they haven't won their past 10 games in a row?
No, they're not the hottest team in baseball, the Philadelphia Phillies.
No, I was just curious. I'm really into baseball now.
Yeah.
I know you. You love it.
I love it.
I'm Ralph Garman. I'll walk the showbiz beat.
Thanks a lot, Ralph. Tomorrow, an all-new Kevin and Bean show. I know it's been action-packed every day this week, but you're not going to believe the program we have for you tomorrow. First of all, Phil Kogan, who's always a phenomenal guest, the host of the Amazing
Race. That's right, brother.
The program tomorrow. And that's Hulk Hogan.
Oh, I'm sorry.
This is Phil Kogan. This is the stand-up comedian guy who also does the UFC announcing. That's who we're talking about.
I think that's Joe Rogan.
Oh, now maybe I'm confused, too. Yeah. Also, the great Travis Barker from Blink-182 will be joining us. As you know, he is on the bill for Epicenter 2010, so we'll be talking to Travis tomorrow. Actor Jason Schwartzman. Just had him in for the Scott Pilgrim movie. Now his Bored to Death TV show is coming back on the air.
That's right, Jet Li.
No, it's Jason Statham you're thinking of. We need that Bored to Death, though. I've been missing that show, and I'm looking forward to seeing more of it.
Great show. He is bringing along his co-star and friend Ted Danson with him from Bored to Death.
No way.
Also on tomorrow's Kevin and Bean show. How about that? Our friend Mike Henry will be on talking about the return of the Cleveland show this weekend. LaQuisha will be on doing the Jersey Shore recap for us. We got more tickets for the Epicenter that you can win. And, of course, Friday means the movie beat. Friday also means 50-50 chance of Adam Carolla. I think tomorrow maybe not an Adam Carolla
day. I don't believe he's coming in, no.
But it is a hell of a Friday, so we'll see you back here tomorrow on an all-new Kevin and Bean show. Don't go away. Kat Corbett's up next. She's got 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock music, including Foo Fighters, also Dirty Heads, that great song Little Lion Man from Mumford & Sons will be part of it, Rise Against Bob Marley Band, and more coming up next on K-Rock.